However, I would stop thinking about music and politics. I would tell you that I pooped in my own dog dish. And sometimes, I would rather face not eating than face licking it clean and admitting when I'm selfish.
This is the Quality News Network. A quarterly audit of U.S. government spending on reconstruction in Iraq reveals tens of millions of dollars in wasted money. The Iraq War and reconstruction costs have totaled more than $300 billion. In Iraq today, the U.S. military said an American soldier was killed in combat. The death brings this month's U.S. military death toll to 85. Also in Iraq today, at least 42 people were killed. Most of the violence occurred in Shiite neighborhoods by bomb and mortar attacks at several locations. In Germany, arrest warrants have been issued for 13 suspected CIA agents. They are wanted in connection with the alleged mistaken kidnapping of a German citizen of Lebanese descent. The man was allegedly held in a secret prison in Afghanistan for several months and beaten during his interrogation before he was released without being charged. In Birmingham, England, 9 people were arrested in an alleged kidnapping plot. It involved the torture and beheading of a British Muslim soldier. In Boston, the discovery of several suspicious packages today forced the closure of major roads, a bridge, and subway service. Authorities now say the devices were a hoax. U.S. officials report possible Iranian links to the recent attack in Iraq at a Karbala compound that killed 5 U.S. soldiers. The gunmen were allowed through Iraqi staff checkpoints and wore U.S. military uniforms. NATO reports that in southern Afghanistan today, around 30 militants were killed in fighting against Afghan and NATO forces. For the second day, members of the Iraq Study Group appeared before a congressional hearing. Co-chair, former Representative Lee Hamilton, said the training of the Iraqi police force has been, quote, botched. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez said today he will give the Senate Judiciary Committee secret documents with details of the government's controversial domestic spying program. The announcement today ends a 2-week standoff with Congress. President Bush spoke about the economy today in New York. He took on Wall Street CEOs who earn big salaries and bonuses. He said executive pay packages should be tied to CEO job performance. Democratic Senator Joe Biden of Delaware officially opened his 2008 presidential campaign today by filing papers with the Federal Election Commission. Author Sidney Shelton died yesterday at the age of 89. He was a prolific writer, and several of his novels became television miniseries. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news coming up next.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
The U.S. Census Bureau will go high-tech for the 2010 count. Temporary workers will use handheld computers to make the count more accurate and precise. About 500,000 workers will participate. The Commerce Department reports in the fourth quarter the U.S. economy grew at a 3.5% rate. That was more than economists had expected. Altria Group announced in late March it will sell off its majority stake in Kraft Foods as part of a restructuring plan. U.S. Airways has withdrawn its nearly $10 billion cash and stock takeover bid for bankrupt Delta Airlines after Delta's creditors rejected it. Boeing reports its fourth quarter earnings more than doubled, beating Wall Street forecasts. The airplane manufacturer said that was due to strong commercial plane and defense-related orders. General Electric reports today it received $1 billion worth of orders in Saudi Arabia for water processing and power generating projects. The NYSE Group, the corporate parent of the New York Stock Exchange, has agreed to enter a strategic alliance with the Tokyo Stock Exchange. The Federal Reserve has left the benchmark interest rate at its current mark, 5.25%. Light sweet crude is trading at $58.14 a barrel, and at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow was up 98 points at 12,621, NASDAQ up 15, S&P 500 up 9. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Okay, Tokyo, South America.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Been away for a couple of days for reasons that most of you who are familiar with the show are most likely conversant with. And frankly, those same reasons may very well not let me make it through the entire show tonight, but I felt like I had to be here for reasons beyond the fact that I begin to vibrate like a struck tuning fork when I'm away from the microphone too long. Beyond that, It's a sort of communion that we all have together, far more profound than any cracker eating that I know out there. This is, of course, Wednesday, and being Wednesday, you know what that means.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Dern tootin'. It is prayer meeting night here at Head On. And there's no dearth of material tonight. It's not like we're going to need to run off into other topics to fill in for the absence of religious extremism to examine. So no, count on it. Just a few announcements. Some fun, some less so. First of all, a very happy birthday to our producer Zach. Today is his natal day, and we hope he's spent it, you know, me and that mouse in my pocket. No, Agnes, me, the whole Head On crew, hope he has spent it having a very good memorializing of the day of his birth.
And happy birthday to you, Bob.
See, I knew you were going to do that. That was uncalled for, dear.
No. We can't forget that. And hold on, Bob. We have something for you.
Oh, no. Thank you, dear. Zach and I, as it turns out, I love the little numerological weird things. No, Zach and I share a birthday, and I find that really, really cool. We'll have to remember that in the future and have joint celebrations. All right, you people, quit that. You know that's not what I meant. Let's see, a couple of things. Just so, one of the reasons that I had to be on the air this evening is to give a little advance heads up, that kind of thing, of what the immediate future may hold for the program. quit. Don't everybody get all nervous. But it's fairly obvious that Father will be passing very soon. It could happen this evening. It could happen overnight. We simply do not know. With that being the case, the whole family will be traveling to Alabama for the services. And we will, for at least a short period of time, be off the air. Once I get internet hooked up down there at the house and we get things settled in, we'll be there for a couple of weeks and we will resume the show. But it'll be a couple of days and nothing really to be done about it. In the interim, big changes are coming for the Horn. Good changes. You know, this is all balance. This is all, you know, there's growth and there's not growth. But we will be formalizing a brand new lineup come Monday. You've already heard some of it with our good friend Jeff Allen Wolf on the air, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern Time every Monday through Friday. That will continue in the next week. Also, though, our good friend Joe Vecchio, with whom you are well familiar, will carry the hour leading into Jeff Wolf's program. So you'll be able to tune in at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and stick with the Horn all the way until 9 p.m. Eastern Time. That's pretty neat. All of this in less than 2 years. It's mind-boggling when you stop and you think about it a little bit. Also, some fun stuff coming. I've talked about a book that I read, and we'll be having a conversation sometime in the near future with Charles C. Mann, author of 1491. I encourage you to purchase the book. I encourage you to read the book. It will change the way you look at just about everything that has happened in the last 500 years or so in the Western Hemisphere. I'll tell you more about those as they get nearer. But at any rate, I did want to let you know that things are going to be a little weird, a little fluid, a little strange in the coming week or so. I apologize for it, but frankly, there is little I can do to make it different. So, you know, please, I implore you to bear with us. There's no getting around it. We don't, we operate on a very, it's a very small family that makes this whole thing happen, from our bloggers, Gene and Susan, to John Fox, Jeff Wolf, Dr. Bill O'Brien, Guy James, Mark Levine, Joe Vecchio, myself, Agnes, Zach, Ben Birch, of course, Peter Godbold, the people that make this little internet miracle happen are very close-knit, and there's not a lot of room for error. So that being the case, just please, you know, keep an eye on the blog, the website, headonradionetwork.com, and we will try to post for you what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, how it's going to work out as these things progress. Let's see, 13 minutes after the hour. Let's go to the phones. Agnes, I haven't heard from our good friend Sarge in Southern Mississippi in quite some time. Hey, Sarge, welcome to the program. You doing all right?
Yeah, doing fine, and happy birthday to you, sir.
Well, thank you, sir.
And I guess it's the age of Aquarius for you, huh?
I am a water bearer.
Hey,
me and Gunga Din.
Yeah. Someone in Democracy Interactive chat room told me that that was Aquarius. That's how I knew that. I don't know much about that stuff, but
me either. I couldn't find it on a star chart.
I couldn't either. All I know is I'm Taurus the Bull, so that's, and it fits me because I'm bullheaded, so that works good. I thought I'd let you know. I'm sure I can speak for all the Horn listeners on this, and I'm on. Go out on a limb and do so, but we all will support you, Bob, and we all understand your situation, so you need not apologize. We all back you, and we all love you and Agnes and the family, and we certainly will have you in our hearts.
Well, thank you very much, Sarge. I do appreciate that. I just, on the one hand, I hate just to disappear the show, but I don't... I mean, we'll run some reruns and stuff, but I didn't want to think of people just thinking that gone, you know, oh, where'd he go? So, you know how that is.
Yeah, well, you know, if there's anything I can do, you know, feel free to call on me. I'll do everything I can to help out. You're where you'll be going is down around Jackson County, isn't it?
No. We'll be headed to Lauderdale County, Alabama.
Lauderdale, I'm not sure where that is.
That is the farthest northwest county in the state.
Oh.
11 miles from my home's 11 miles from Tennessee and 30 miles from Mississippi.
Okay, that's a long ways from here.
Yeah, it's a little bit of people fail to realize that there's there's a lot of country down there.
Yes, there is, and it's a world of difference in the way each section of it thinks. North Mississippi is completely different than South Mississippi, and then Central Mississippi is yet another area. So you just it's really something that people overlook, and that's one of the reasons we've set up a group called Southern Progressives United at our forums at unreportednews.net. And what we're doing, a guy named Daryl from Alabama, Montgomery, and I have teamed together. He has democracyinteractive.com. We've teamed together, and we wanted to set this up so people could come meet Southern Progressives. It would be a place where Southern Progressives could meet up and unite and get to know each other and maybe organize things in the future. Also to let people outside the South come visit with Southern progressives and see that not everybody in the South is a right-wing idiot.
That is a brilliant idea, Sarge.
Well, I think with Daryl involved, I think it's going to really be something special. Eventually we'll probably have a website completely for it. But right now we're just trying to get it in the beginning stages, and Dale is quite a fella, and he was going to call in the other night, but unfortunately he wasn't able to air your show. But he will be checking in with you as well.
Well, good. I look forward to that. You know, I think as we grow this, especially in the Deep South, it has real meaning. It has real import because if there's anywhere in the country, Sarge, that people, that progressives and liberals have not had an opportunity to get their voice heard, it has been the Deep South.
Well, you know,
anybody who's ever run across the AM radio dial in the Deep South knows that there's just not a lot of room for liberalism.
That's right. And, you know, the one thing that really made that very aware to me was talking with Joe Vecchio. Thank God for Joe. Man, he has done a lot to let people know that all Southerners are not right-wing idiots, that there are some of us down here who actually use our brain for something other than just something to take up space with.
Or a liquor sponge.
Right. And, you know, that's great. And AJ, the Music Factory, who is now with unreportednews.net, he had this idea, too, that all Southerners were like that. And our talking, we have been able to get him to see that not all Southerners are right-wing, that there are some of us that oppose these people. So, you know, I think
that's so true, Sarge, and it bears remembering that so many great progressive things started in the South, and it's more of a mark of the success of the right-wing filth machine than it is for of the death of liberalism in the South, that they have been able to create this idea of a solid South of just hateful right-wing redneckery.
Yeah, that's right. And it's, you know, if people go back and look at the history of the South has never been a united political thing, you know. It never has been. In fact, that's what really led to Lincoln's election, was because the South was so divided on its political parts.
Very true. Very true indeed.
So it's something that I think we really need to do. And plus, being here in Mississippi and in such a conservative area, sometimes I feel like I'm all alone down here, and I want to get out of here so I can get around people who think like I do. But then meeting Daryl and Cassie and all these other Southerners who think like I do and who have the same political opinions that I have, it gives me, you know, feeling like, well, I'm not so alone after all. And that's one of the reasons we're setting up the Southern Progressive United.
Well, I am so very, very glad that you were and are, because it is something that has its place. And by all means, if we can connect Southern Progressives with their Northern or Midwestern or Western fellows and neighbors, we will be that much the better off, because it's when we come together, Sarge, that we really, really terrify the Karl Roves of the world.
Yeah, and I don't want people who's listening to think that it's just for Southern Progressives. It's for anybody, but it's just a way to get the Southerners together and also to get the word out we're here, you know, because I think the GOP has really used that division to further their cause, and I think we need to start breaking it down.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I agree wholeheartedly. So, and by the way, you know, when I get a minute, I'll have to come by, because I look forward to seeing that. And I encourage, is it there at unreportednews.net, Sarge?
It's in our forums. You'll have to scroll down to the section. I'm going to have to redo it, move it up some so people can find it more easily. Of course, I want them to see the other things there, too. But
right.
We also have a chat that we're using. It's the democracyinteractive.com chat room. And they can drop by there, or they can drop in the Horn. We've kind of, the Horn chat room and the Democracy Interactive chat room has come together, and we flip-flop back and forth to each other's chat rooms. So there's a really wonderful relationship that's developed there as well.
Well, very good. Very good, Sarge. Thank you very kindly, and thank you for your good words this evening.
Well, I'm going to let you go, and once more, happy birthday.
Thank you, Sarge.
Bye-bye.
You take care. All right, and we'll just keep it rolling along. Folks kind of getting in line, because there hasn't been a show for a couple of nights for obvious reasons. David joins us from Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program. Good to talk to you.
Good evening, Bob. How are you this evening?
I'm okay.
That's good. You know, I guess you heard about that bomb scare today in Massachusetts.
I've got it set up kind of, I sort of had it planned as a segment on the program. Yeah, we occasionally discuss what we have become, i.e. the coward nation, and
hey,
now we are afraid of Moonanite.
Did you hear what it was, though? Did you hear what it was?
Yeah, it's a Moonanite.
Yeah, a Moonanite.
From Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Well, they are right on one thing. The Moonanites are dangerous.
Well, yes, they are.
They fire that Atari pellet, and it goes like one millimeter per second.
Yeah, and it beeps
just like
Pong, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a dangerous weapon, and then they're coming to Boston to wreak havoc on the people.
Oh God! No, I've got the story. You know, the headline right here. David says, "Ad campaign triggers bomb scare in Boston," and right there is a picture of a Moonanite.
I think they must have miscalculated on where to place these. And where to place these devices that were blinking? Maybe they.
Well, you know all, you know that, but you know the other thing to bear in mind, Dave.
Yeah.
We all know that all terrorists make their bombs blink.
That's true.
You know, it's just I'm sure you're familiar with the movie Galaxy Quest.
Right.
And you know how they've got to disable the ship's auto destruct sequence, and they get in there and they push the button and it just counts down to one and stops. And they look at, oh well, it always stops on one.
Yeah, you know
there are just things out there in the natural world, and that's the way it happens. No self-respecting terrorist would ever plant a bomb that didn't blink.
Yeah, I know it's got to blink. And I
well, how the hell would you know it was a terrorist bomb device if it wasn't blinking? I mean, if you're out there using bombs that don't blink, well, you know, some crazy right winger could pull up to a federal building in Oklahoma City with a Ryder truck full of ammonium nitrate and diesel fuel and blow it all to Mars. I mean, it's got to blink.
You know. That story caught my that bit caught my eye, and then also, did you hear about this one about Paul Wolfowitz?
I'm not sure which one. I saw a photograph of him. Are we talking about the same thing?
Yeah, he took off his shoes and he had holes in his socks.
Yeah.
This guy's definitely not part of the shadow government. He's got holes in his socks.
This guy's not part of the reality, David.
that's true too. He's not part of reality.
I mean, he wears socks with holes in them. The guy's a multimillionaire,
right.
And you know, I don't even want to talk about his hygiene. That's just icky to think about. But that's the kind of guy. Ooh, I mean, there's this list. I mean, okay, we've got the photograph of Paul Wolfowitz now with his stupid little big toes poking through the holes in his socks. Anybody remember? I'm sure you do. The video footage of him from Fahrenheit 9/11.
Right.
Sticking that comb in his mouth. And running it through his greasy ass hair.
Well, you know that I think they forgot how to act because they've been in the basement for so long, for so many years. And then when they finally got out, that's how they thought that you were supposed to act sociably in the real world.
Well, I don't think they ever knew. I mean, these are the reason these creeps are the way they are is because. They were the bad nerds in school. When I was in school, I was one of the good nerds.
Right.
But these were bad nerds. And they got beaten up every day, and they're taking it out on the rest of the world now. And so, you know, when you don't have enough presence of mind to put on socks that... See, that would drive me crazy, David. I don't know about you. But to have a hole in your socks and have your toe rubbing up against the inside of the shoe...
It's like
I'd be a quivering mess inside of an hour and looking for the nearest Payless just to buy a cheap pair of socks.
It's like all the bad nerds knew that they needed to find a leader, so they asked somebody in varsity football who had an interest in politics. He said, "Hey Cheney, come over here."
Okay. Let me get my gun.
Yeah, they knew that they could mold him into something. He said, "Do you know about this? Do you know about this, Mr. Cheney? Do you know about this? What about this? What do you think about global imperialism?" And then he just kept going and going. And sooner or later, they just transformed him. Before that, he probably was just thinking, you know, football's cool, drinking's cool. But then, you know. They completely changed on it. And the other thing that I was going to mention was New York Times company hit a big loss today. They $648 million for the fourth quarter. It's not doing too well. I think that has to do with a lot of it has to do with online media and the fact that people that think that you can still charge money for information.
Well, there were a lot of people who got just, and I was a little bit more than just a little bit peeved when they decided to take Paul Krugman and Bob Herbert, folks like that, and make you pay for them.
Right, time select. That was the stupidest thing. And Wall Street Journal does that too. Wall Street Journal makes you charge for every single article. You got to pay for this article, $2.
You know, part of that though, David, is because we're still trying to figure out what e-commerce really means.
Right.
And that includes what we're doing here at the Horn. I don't think that I should charge people for the privilege of sharing their time with me. Hence the stream and all of that is free. I have a feeling if the New York Times was in charge of this, they would charge for every damn kilobyte that came down the stream because, you know, it's all they've gotten to a point where they see media as money first and content second. And as long as it's money first and content second, it's going to have to fail.
You know, the whole thing with a lot of people just not understanding that. A lot of this is going to be made in advertising in the future. I mean, you can already see it. Look what's happening with Fire Dog Lake. They're going to get a lot of advertisements just off this idea alone that they did with the transcripts of the Libby trial.
Oh, the lie. Well, and they've been made by CNN because that's where CNN goes every time it updates the Libby proceedings.
Right. That is exactly right. That's why. I mean, it really comes down to one line. It's like what Warren Buffett says whenever you're having trouble in the marketplace. He goes, "Well, you got to diversify." And that's really what media has to do. They shouldn't. I mean, the more they complain about it, the more they complain about, "Oh, geez, I'm losing money on this." I mean, you just have to adapt to the times on this. It's almost
I mean, that's why we've got everything we've got here: chat rooms, message boards, the gizmo that you can call in and leave a message for the show. We've got everything, but online gaming. And, you know, give us a little time and a little bit of money, we'll get the bandwidth, and we'll have that, too.
Yeah.
You can play Tank Commander while you're listening to the show. You know, with the little geometric forms out in the distance.
By the way, did you catch that Chuck Norris subbing on Hannity and Cohn?
Oh, no. I'm really glad I didn't.
I sent you a YouTube link so you can hear how bad he is at being the host. Rather than Sean Hannity, they should.
Oh, I will. Him. I will go and track that down.
So
I saw
bad.
Your email, frankly.
I've just been so stacked up.
I haven't had a chance.
I wish I had the hour download of something like that because I know it was just a slow, slow death.
You mean have the whole thing?
Right.
Watch the whole train wreck.
Yeah, I sent you a bunch of news links of all the stuff that I'm talking about.
Yeah, those I did see.
Okay. Yeah.
I just haven't had much of a chance to do anything with them.
Oh, that's understandable. You know, the other thing that I was going to talk about was somebody's discovered a document called, I don't know, this might be interesting to people. It's if you go to Information Clearinghouse, there's a report on Information Operations Roadmap. And it explains it in detail. It says the Pentagon is calculating the military opportunities the computer networks, wireless technologies, and the modern media offer, from influencing public opinion through new media to designing computer attack weapons. The U.S. military is learning to fight an electronic war. The declassified document is called Information Operations Roadmap. It was obtained by the National Security Archive at George Washington University using the Freedom of Information Act. And if you go there, to the Information Clearinghouse and U.S. Plans to Fight the Net Revealed, I think that's the title of the piece. But they have the PDF file, so you can look at this report. And basically, what it does, basically, it explains a lot of what we're about to see in the future. So I think that's important for people to look through as well. That somebody was able to obtain this through the Freedom of Information Act.
Well, FOIA is one of the better tools that remains to people who want to keep this society free. On the other hand, I'm glad you did bring that up, David, because there's the dark side of FOIA came out today as well. I don't know if you caught it or not, but did you see what the Washington Post decided to do?
No.
I'm not surprised because they didn't make a lot of noise about it. But, you know, they were the ones who were suing to see Darth Cheney's visitor logs.
Mm.
Remember that story?
Yeah.
They dropped it. Never mind. Our bad.
Well,
forget we ever asked.
I still think that, I still believe that Cheney is going to find himself resigning shortly, just because of so much lying that he's done, and there's just so many loose ends that he didn't tie, and that's what happens when you hit the bottle and you get ultra paranoid, and it's just a classic case of imperialism gone awry, basically.
Well, it kind of is. I like where you're coming from. I like the idea of just waking up some morning and seeing that snarling face saying, "I've decided I need to spend more time with my family. My little gay granddaughter that's on the way, and I'm resigning from the vice presidency. I hope that morning happens.
And
I want to see your optimism paid off, David.
And hopefully it's before someone blocks the war, or after, whichever comes first. But I mean that because if nobody blocks this war with Iran, there's also a good piece on Information Clearinghouse. Scott Ritter does a new speech about the updates you're seeing right now, and it's like 28 minutes. So if people want to head out to Information Clearinghouse, you can go and listen to that 28-minute speech. You just have to have real audio to be able to do it. But it's really interesting what he explains, the ship that's making its way out there. He goes into detail about the documents and the things that people may not know about neoconservatives, and he just explains it a little bit more in detail, what you can expect in the coming months. And it's not exactly, as someone would say, pretty.
No, well, I think pretty is pretty well off the table for the rest of this administration, though, don't you think? We're fresh out of pretty.
Pretty is off the table. We're at the point of
we're at the point where we're putting lipsticks on pigs.
Lipsticks.
Hey, David, have yourself a good evening. Good talking to you.
Right,
sorry
later.
I was away for so long.
No problem, later.
All right, see ya. Our good friend David in Maine. I'm so glad he brought up the great big terrifying Aqua Teen bombing of Boston. Jesus. The Moonanites are coming. The Moonanites are coming, and it's blinking. It's blinking. You know, if it blinks, it's got to be a terrorist. It was ticking, too. It was blinking and ticking. It was blinking, and it was ticking, and it rattled. God. Let's keep it rolling. Let's go to a David of different geography. David calling from Middle Tennessee. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Well, good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Well, I'm quite well, and, you know, in keeping with this birthday mode, 16 candles. That'll help a lot more.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You know,
for a variety of reasons, I might add.
You got it. As the oldest guy in the chat room, I can make all the age jokes I want to.
Darn right.
So, you know, recently, our leader, the chimp in charge, W, the moron, has it hit you yet about this executive order that he came up with? I forget the number of it. It's some sort of a deal. It's a signing statement on steroids.
You talking about what came out in the trial?
The trial? No, I thought it was more recent than the trial.
Oh, okay. Well, flesh it out for me a little bit, please.
Well, maybe we're talking about the same thing, because I haven't been doing as much research as I should. He's created an executive order that says all laws have to funnel through politically appointed coordinators once they've been passed by Congress. Those within the Congress must then be part of the administrative implementation process. So it's a signing statement on steroids. The man is overthrowing the workings of the Congress. Oh, the people duly elected by us can't pass a law? He can just put some gatekeeper in place and say, nah, we'll do it later.
Yeah, or, well, you know, you passed a law, but I think I know better than you do what you thought you meant.
Or I really think, I don't care what you think, just like he and Cheney have said, oh, you don't like this war, you vote against it, oh, the Congress says whatever, that doesn't matter what they say. We're going to do it anyway.
Well, and that's what's so distressing about these people. I have a feeling, and frankly, I'm with Russ Feingold on this. I want to see him push that defunding legislation. You know, to heck with all this non-binding disapproval. You know, you're a Southerner, and we know what the effect of a woman looking at you going, I'm not mad at you, I'm disappointed.
Oh, yeah,
that has its place. This isn't it. It's time to stop being. It's time to stop passing bills saying that we're disappointed in the Bush administration. It's time to take the checkbook away. You know, and we'll have fun when Congress takes the T-bird away.
When your opponent, when the President of the United States, when the man doing the bad things has no conscience, you cannot remind him he's behaving badly with the expectation that he's going to change. If you're talking to, you know, a 30-year-old mature individual that has a long-standing demonstrated ability to think rationally, and you say, what you're doing to me as a friend really looks bad, that's going to matter. It's like trying to reason with a 4-year-old or a drunken teenager, you know, which, you know, pick the metaphor. George is either one in most cases.
Yeah, give me back my Batman. Give me back my Batman. I want my Batman back. Give me back my Batman.
Exactly.
Give me back my frog and give me back my frog and my firecrackers.
Yeah, wait a minute. Where's a coat hanger and a couple of Bics? I need to brand a pledge or two. We've got
to stop branding the pledges.
Oh, we've got to stop playing around. Pull the money, impeach the person. There's no other way.
There is either, and I know that there are those out there, David, who believe that the impeachment discussion remains counterproductive. And for me, I just have to wonder what will have to happen in this country for them to stop that.
I want more people to act like the crowd did at the rally this past weekend.
The one the media didn't cover?
Yeah, the one the media didn't cover because they probably couldn't get near it because there were too damn many people there for them to find a way to cover it. But somehow, C-SPAN, too, managed to find it, and Sarandon spoke, and Mr. Sarandon spoke, and he had a very good vehicle to do this. So, impeachment's still off the table, is it? Why is impeachment off the table? And he had half a dozen. You know, he limited it to the best of several points that could have been made, and the crowd was absolutely over the moon in favor of it. We've got to get off this idea that impeachment will kill the nation. Impeachment is a normal part of our government process. It's our way to ditch a loser, and the man's a loser.
Well, you know, David, I received a link to a blog called Get in Their Face. And I think it's getintheirface.blogspot.com. But there was a link there to a Bill Moyers piece from 1987 on the Iran-Contra affair. And, of course, Bill Moyers did his usual yeoman work of laying out, you know, it wasn't so much a news report as it was a video indictment of the Reagan administration. But I sat there watching it, and as I watched, you know, I mean, there's Ollie North saying, Congressman, did I lie to the Congress? Yes, I lied to the Congress. And suddenly I understood where Rumsfeld got all the, either where Ollie North got that line of speech or where Rumsfeld picked it up from, because it was osmotic from one to the other. But I sat there watching and I was going, Jesus Christ, how did Ronald Reagan make it through 8 years without being indicted or impeached? Convicted, thrown out of office, and put in a criminal nursing home for the criminally insane.
I remembered that it was
Martha Graham at the Washington Post and Ben Bradley saying, the nation cannot stand another constitutional crisis like unto that which, yea, verily, we had with Watergate, woe betide us.
And that's for the faint of heart. That is, and normally I respect Ms. Graham and her family and the ownership of that paper at that point in time, but I saw some of the same thing because I was lucky enough to be presented with that link, and very honestly, I watched it until, and there were, both sides of the aisle took their lumps in that. And in that same presentation, when watching it, it got to the point where Lyndon Johnson lied to us I just wanted, you know, I need to watch the other half of this another day. I'm sick enough already. But you're exactly right. Ollie North sitting there in his uniform, acting the hero.
Yeah, the uniform he didn't wear when he was on the job with the National Security Agency, sure.
Oh, and the thousands of people that were murdered in the name of some sort of preventive measure that might stop a duly elected government because it had, oh, God forbid, communist leanings, or, as in the case of that poor guy in Iran in 1953 that simply wanted to avoid sending every dollar from his country's earth, his country's ground to the British. Oh, well, we've got to kill him. Oh, in Nicaragua, bananas might cost more because we can't do exactly what we want. We'll kill that guy that's duly elected. Oh.
You know, we whacked democracy in Guatemala for a banana. I mean, just stop for a minute.
It's not even a banana, Bob. It's for a cheaper banana. It's for a higher profit banana.
It's not a higher fiber banana. It's not a banana with more potassium. It's a banana that's cheaper by the pound.
Exactly. It's not a banana that prevents cervical cancer. No, just a higher profit banana. Well, I am disgusted. You are disgusted. And at this moment...
But David, you know, the thing is...
Hold on. It's incredibly...
Okay.
It's incredibly giving of you to take some time out from what you have in front of you to spend time with us and let it be live and in person. So we love you for that. And we all do indeed support you.
Thank you, David. I get as much as I give, I promise you.
Well, many of us are and will be there for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And tell them I said thank you in the chat room. I don't think I've got the bandwidth to go in there. Otherwise, I'd be in there like you.
Oh, I'm sure either. I'm sure they're flying their Attaboy Bob flags right there. I'm away from
David.
My screen at the moment.
Okay. Well, take care. It's so good to hear from you.
Great to hear.
Knowing where you are, keep an eye out for ice tonight.
Oh, apparently it's on the way. The sky is.
You know, nothing. I got to be honest. Nothing happens in our family without being attended by some sort of ecological portent.
Speaking of that, it's just if nothing else, that story about the birth of your latest or next to latest. You know, you decide to go to the hospital on the night that nobody else in West Virginia is traveling anywhere.
Yeah. Right.
And other guys go by you sideways. And, well, gee whiz. Luckily around here, it should be 6 or 8 hours starting around midnight, being over by 8 o'clock. But because of your altitude and your temperature differential, I don't know about where you are. Good.
Well, it's, you know, snow we can handle. It's the ice that just scares the dickens out of me. But, you know, I'm reminded that, thank heaven, we've got all the electricity we can generate thanks to the generosity of a listener. So the studio will stay on and the house will stay warm.
Okay. Well, that's good. And you're more likely to get snow. We're going to get sleet right around here. But the further north you go, the further east you go, the higher in elevation, the less likely sleet is. So you'll probably just get snow. But whatever you do, be safe. Know that we all care about you.
Thank you, David. Thank you very kindly.
Keep on trying to
keep
in charge. See you later.
Okay. Bye now. Let's see. Agnes told me. Let me check here. Let me look in our. Agnes, you want to take a break now, or should we? Let's go to the phones. No? Okay. We'll take a break. Okay. We'll take a break. Then we'll come back and go to the phones. I understand that. This is the Head On Radio Network. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, Head On. It's prayer meeting night. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Like the child of 5 I once was, she is bright and full of dreams. Her little brother Yusuf throws a stone into the sea. Will their dreams be taken when they become our enemy? Not in our name, no. not in our name, we are not willing to trade children's blood for oil, profits for the gain. Not in our name, no more killing. Not in our name, say we're not willing. Not in the name of America, no, not in our name.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Herbst. I play Elizabeth Weber on General Hospital. I want you to know about a wonderful nonprofit foundation called the Jesse Cause, saving the babies from Group B strep, also known as beta strep. It's named after little Jesse, who needed 3 brain surgeries, all because his mom was never given a simple test. Group beta strep is the leading infectious killer of newborns in the United States, yet most people have never even heard of it. Amazingly, 1/3 of all pregnant women have beta strep, and it's almost 90% preventable with common antibiotics. Tell your friends about beta strep, and if you're pregnant, ask your doctor to test you. Together, we can save the babies and put an end to this devastating yet preventable bacteria. For more information, call toll-free at 877-HALT-GBS. That's 877-HALT-GBS. Or log on to groupbstrep.com. That's groupbstrep.com. Jesse and I, thank you.
Like the sermon on the mountain, says the Dharma got to come. Pushing up daisies, we all look the same. In the name of the Father, maybe, but not in my name. On this Jacob's ladder, the only way up is down.
Hey, you know, this thing works a lot better when you punch the button. Everybody conjugate. The show's back on. Let's go straight to the phones. Phil joins us from Daytona Beach, Florida, fresh back home from the End the War rally in Washington, D.C. Phil, welcome to the program. It's good to hear from you. Oh, Phil is gone. I kind of need to know that in advance. I watched as much of the rally as I could on C-SPAN. And as far as I could tell, I saw some BART cop signs, by the way, you know, worst president ever, violent extremist, that kind of thing. As far as I could tell, there was and this is a complicated mathematical term, a whole lot of people there. Now, why it wasn't better covered in the so-called mainstream media, I don't know. You know, get out to get it to go fire up your black helicopter and fly around the roof a couple of times and figure it out. Is it because the corporate media doesn't want America knowing that America was in the streets? Or is it because, and I'm not being critical of the organizers because I certainly couldn't have done a better job, is it because it was on a Saturday? And therefore the news cycle on a Saturday is, you know, focus. I don't know. I think it's probably a combination of the two. But they had beautiful, albeit cold weather for it, and what appeared to be tens of thousands of people out for it. You know, and then the response, well, you know, there were only tens of thousands. There weren't millions or anything, okay? There weren't millions. It was just tens of thousands. Where are the tens of thousands of supporters for the war? Well, I haven't seen them in the streets or anything, but I can tell you one place that they are. They're in my email. They're in the little hustles that I get from right-wing yak promoters. I don't mean the animal yak. I mean babble yak. Let's see. Where is it? I gotta find this. You're going to love this. Oh, here it is from Tim Bueller. Bueller. Oh, from Tim Bueller. Tim, who I think, I could be wrong, has had some passing work with the Minute Men. You know, the rednecks that want to sit in the desert and kill brown people for wanting to scrub our toilets and cook in our restaurants and wash our dishes and carry the country on their backs for wages that are far below anything that most American employers would have to pay if they were paying so-called Americans to do the work. Anyway, Bueller. Well, Tim sends me this pitch for an interview with this creepy little dude named Michael Payne. I've heard him before. Bless his heart, our good friend Mark Levine had him on the program. And apparently Michael Payne is a... You know, war is a wonderful thing, and Jesus just loves it. But this is what I... the subject line. Now, work with me here. The subject line. Spectre leads Dems blocking Bush troop boost. And then you come off the subject line, and yeah, he does it again. For immediate release, 31 January 2007, contact Tim Bueller, and the phone number and his email address. And there it is again. It wasn't a typo. Spectre leads Dems blocking Bush troop boost. Senate Democrats on the Judiciary Committee are putting on a full-court press to block President Bush's planned troops increase in Iraq and to impose new limits on the rules of engagement in the war that could lead to the forced withdrawal of the U.S. forces in Iraq. Leading the parade on the constitutional coup is Senator Arlen Specter, who insists the president has no right to ignore congressional opposition to sending an additional 21,500 troops to Iraq. See New York Times article below. You're with me, right? You do see that Tim Bueller has promoted Arlen Specter to a member of the Democratic Party. Specter leads Senate Dems on a... Didn't they do this a few months ago and we caught him? That was Mark Foley. Florida Democrat Mark Foley. Diddler of little boys. Democrat. Diddling Democrat. You got the message. He's not a Republican, right? You understand that now. Oh, they just lie, and they cheat, and they cheat, and they lie. Tell you what, it's time for our top-of-the-hour news. We'll come back. We'll take more of your phone calls at 877-443-2366, 877-4 head-on. Email comes roaring into Bob at headonradio.com, but you already know that.
This is the Head On Radio Network, where all bumper musics are cold opens, and I have to talk over singing. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez plans to release some documents about the domestic spying program as early as today. They'll be given to Senate Judiciary Chairman Patrick Leahy, as well as the panel's top Republican, Senator Arlen Specter. They'll also be available to lawmakers and members of the House and Senate Intelligence Committees. Two members of the Iraq Study Group say Iraqi police training has not gone as well as expected. The co-chair of the group, former Representative Lee Hamilton, says the U.S. has made many mistakes in the training, and as a result, Iraq has few policemen and a corrupt judicial system. In Germany, an arrest warrant has been issued for 13 CIA agents who kidnapped a German citizen and tortured him in an Afghani prison. They later released him and acknowledged that he was not a terrorist. In Washington, senators from both parties used the platform of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to tell the administration to cool its increasingly heated anti-Iranian rhetoric. They echoed recommendations from the Iraq Study Group that the U.S. diplomatically enlist Iran to help reduce sectarian violence. The Associated Press reports that President Bush's choice to head the U.S. National Intelligence Committee could encounter some ethical problems if he's confirmed. Retired Vice Admiral Mike McConnell earns $2 million a year as a consultant with some of the same officials he would be supervising. His confirmation hearings begin tomorrow. On Wall Street today, President Bush spoke about the state of the economy and acknowledged the widening gap between the rich and the poor. He also spoke about the excessive salaries awarded to company executives. He said the salaries should be tied to job performance, but did not suggest that the government intervene. In Venezuela today, Congress approved a bill that gives Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez special powers. Chavez now has broad powers over such areas as the economy, energy, and defense. An opponent compared the move to powers granted to Adolf Hitler in Nazi Germany. In South Dakota, lawmakers have introduced a bill that would make abortions illegal, except in cases involving rape and incest. In those cases, the perpetrator must be identified through DNA evidence taken from the aborted fetus. Also, the victims would have to report the rapes to authorities within 50 days. Best-selling author and playwright Sidney Shelton has died. He was 89. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business coming up next.
Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox. They're overloading your email. They're on the phone. They won't be denied. The best rate, the biggest bargain, fewer points, too much information. Gold Coast Financial to the rescue. They can offload the overload and handcraft a loan that suits your needs. Are you on lender overload? Relief is just minutes away. Call Gold Coast Financial, 831-649-8757. 831-649-8757. Gold Coast Financial.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to 1 million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
California lawmakers have introduced a bill that aims to reduce energy use and greenhouse gases. Incandescent light bulbs will be banned by the year 2012 under the How Many Legislators Does It Take to Change a Light Bulb Act. Boeing reports its last quarter earnings more than doubled. The airplane manufacturer said that was due to high commercial airplane and defense-related orders. U.S. Airways has dropped its hostile takeover bid of Delta. The nearly $10 billion cash and stock offer was withdrawn after Delta's creditors put their support behind the company's own plan for financial recovery. Merck is being criticized for helping fund lobbying efforts in 18 states. That's to promote a requirement that schoolgirls take the company's patented vaccine against the cervical cancer virus. The NYSE group is entering a joint partnership with the Tokyo Stock Exchange. It will include shared listings and trading of technology and marketing. The Federal Reserve Board has issued a report saying short-term interest rates are not going up and will remain at 5.25%. The Dow set a record close today. It was up 98 points at 12,621. Nasdaq up 15 points at 2463. The S&P 500 was up 9 points at 1438. And light sweet crude settled today at $58.14 on the New York Mercantile Exchange. There's more on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, back at it. 5.5 minutes after the hour, hour number two of this Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On, and I really do. I've got some religious excess stories here, not success, excess stories, and we will get to them, but first we're going to get, we've got him back, our good friend Phil from Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. Can you hear me?
I hear you fine. How was your trip?
Oh, very good, thanks. Glad to be back. First off, as I mentioned to Agnes on the phone earlier, you, your dad, and your whole family are down here in Central Florida. You're in our thoughts and prayers.
And, thank you very, very much.
You know, and I'm glad you're on the air and understand when you can't be. Let's see now. Washington was a great success. I was on with Guy James yesterday afternoon, and I would like to point out to folks that the media dissector, Danny Schechter, you're familiar
yes.
with him? He's done a number of films, and he's the founder of MediaChannel.org. I highly recommend it. Did a four-page piece on the media coverage of the rally in Washington. It's entitled 500,000 March on Washington, Corporate Media Yawns. And I believe you can find it in a number of places on the web right now, but afterdowningstreet.org certainly has it posted, as well as mediachannel.org, his own web page. Please read it, folks. Let's see. Oh, boy. I was telling Agnes, we got a chance to actually meet with Mayor Rocky Anderson and speak with him for a while.
Really?
Yes, behind stage, because I went up as a representative of the Central Florida chapter of Veterans for Peace, and the different, you know, the groups, Veterans for Peace and Code Pink and the Iraq Vets Against the War and the other sponsoring groups were able to get behind stage, you know, and he's a real treat. He's the real deal, Bob, as you know, Rocky Anderson. Kucinich gave a fiery talk as well, but there was this 12-year-old girl, a sixth grader from Massachusetts, Mariah something or other from Massachusetts, gave a heck of a okay. speech, and she's right up there with Rocky Anderson. And I do have to say, everyone else gave some fiery speeches, but Mayor Anderson and this 12-year-old show the rest of them to be the politicians that they are. They can't help it. You know, when you have, you just see it, you hear it. You see it with your own eyes, you hear it with your own ears. And, when people have seen bullshit before, they know it, you know? You know
right.
what I mean? You know it when you see it. My grandmother used to say, "Oh,
and you can swear up and down that it smells like Chanel number 5, but you know, no."
Hey man, you know when you've seen it enough times and you've been dealt it enough times, you know what it is. And Rocky Anderson and these others, the real deal. This 12-year-old girl And Rocky Anderson, I believe, when held up against the politicians, you knew who the politicians were and who was for real. I don't know if I'm saying what I want to say. Maybe I should take that back. But I'm sure everybody. I don't know. I'm getting tongue-tied, and I'm probably getting in trouble for saying something.
You're doing fine.
You could distinguish between the two is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
You knew who the establishment politicians were versus the non-establishment people. I'm not saying that the politicians who spoke, Kucinich, Waters, Woolsey, Conyers, all of them weren't heartfelt or didn't mean what they say, and I hope they mean what they say, and I hope they get, you know, they continue to work real hard at carrying out what they say. But there's a difference. You can tell, you know. That's what I came away from it with.
Well, I think I'm glad you were able to be there, and yeah, you can tell the difference. I hope Rocky Anderson will keep his profile high in all of this.
I hope so.
I'm glad that Dennis Kucinich was there because, frankly, he's as much in many ways the heart and soul of the anti-war movement right now, as far as I'm concerned, on a political basis.
Correct. And David Swanson was there. We had a good chat, and he gave a fiery speech. The following day, out at Chevy Chase High School, I went to the a packed auditorium with there were representatives from 47 states were represented in the Lobby Day workshops on Sunday. That means people had come from 47 different states to participate in the Lobby Day yesterday, Monday, or what's today, Wednesday? Monday, the 29th. Monday, when they lobbied Congress, 47 states were represented, Bob.
That is exciting.
To include Alaska and Hawaii. I think the three that weren't represented, one was South Dakota. I don't know what the other two were. But I said on Guy James' show yesterday that I've never been more ashamed of being an American when you hold me up to the rest of the 300 million Americans, where we had 500,000 in Washington on Saturday, I was standing with them. I couldn't have been more proud to have been, be with those folks as an American. I'm tongue-tied, but the fact that what we know, with all that we know. And the buck stops with the people. The politicians are going to be politicians. I went to Monday. Kathy and I, we skipped the lobby day. Here was 10-degree wind chill, right? And we got our airplane luggage with the little tiny rubber wheels, and we're dragging them up into the Jefferson Memorial. Went up there and read the inscriptions carved in stone, you know. And then we pulled our luggage through the wind chill over to the FDR Memorial and read all those quotes. We must have been a sight, you know, the four goofy Floridians with luggage, you know. And then we made it over to the Korean War Memorial, and I took pictures because some of our members of Central Florida Veterans for Peace are Korean vets. And then we went up to the Lincoln Memorial, and I almost broke down. I don't know how many times being in those memorials and hearing the audio and the video on the inside of the things, and stood on the spot where Martin Luther King stood in 1963, and just, you know, that's missing the people. We the people, and they were saying that in the beginning of our country, it's the people that showed up to Washington. This is what participating in your democracy is. This is what freedom isn't free means. You have to participate. And if you're not, and you know that you should be, then I say the blood's on your hands.
Well, I certainly know what you mean, and did you get a sense coming away from it, Phil, that people were excited and energized and willing to do what has to be done to make this end?
Yes, and it has to be taken home. I believe we must be the media, which you know, I know I call into the I love the show, I love the Head On Radio Network, and sometimes I feel like I call in too much, and I told Agnes I wasn't really going to try to talk, but at the same time we have a responsibility to pick up the phone and call into shows like yours and if other shows and write letters to the editor and talk about it. We have to be the media. We have to be the truth tellers. People that the television, radio, and press are all owned by a handful of corporations that are in the business of making war.
Well, exactly, and the, you know, the sidelight, or maybe not the sidelight, but the overarching light on all of this, Phil, is that there is the people who don't understand the anti-war movement, and the right wingers who understand and deliberately try to miscast it, they try to paint it in terms of, well, you know, they just hate war because they're a bunch of peacenicks and they're a bunch of sissies, and they would let us get overrun by the communists if it had been up to them. They just don't like war. They're a bunch of pacifists. But the fact of the matter is, there's so much more to the anti-war movement, Phil. And you understand, and so many millions more understand, that ending the war is the beginning of everything else we want for a safe and secure American future.
Yes,
it's about wage equality. It is about it's about being able to have the freedom of association. It's about trying to tear apart this fascistic national security state. It's about ending the fear. It's about living in an America where people aren't scared of light brights. I mean, the story that David from Maine was talking about earlier with what went down in Boston today, that's what those are. They are essentially light bright boards.
Yes.
And Boston shut down over a light bright board. Ending the war begins to heal all of those problems.
We're responsible, Bob. We have to. It's our responsibility as we the people. This is going down in our name, man. These bombs that are being dropped on people halfway around the world that we never see.
I received a slideshow in my email the other day, done to the tune of Cat Stevens' Peace Train, and it just said, these are some pictures of Tehran that you're not likely to see on the evening news.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so moving. I don't know if anybody else has it that could send it to well, I can't get at it, but it needs to be seen on a wider scale, because these are the same pictures we didn't see of Baghdad either.
Yes.
But we need to understand full well what it is that we're bombing, what it is that we're destroying, who it is that we're murdering before we pull the trigger.
And, you know, when you use the word we're bombing, you know, I that does include us. This is being done in our name. And to not, if you're not trying to stop it, then you're part of it. And we were on the airplane coming back, and Kathy's son, Brett, God bless this kid. He's a special kid. He's just a real good kid. And we're talking about what can we do coming back. You know, I wore my Impeach Bush and Cheney shirt. You know, I wear that as much as possible, and all the buttons and everything. And I gave the stewardess a card to give the pilots. You know, Sunday morning I went, I don't know how long's the queue. I don't want to take up too much time. The call, hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I say stuff out loud where there's all kinds of people they have to hear me or not, you know, and I say it loud enough, you know, it's like I'm having a conversation, but what I'm really doing is having a, you know, I'm making a statement to people. You know, I said, Brett, you know, our country is about to drop nuclear bombs on Iran, a country that has not attacked us. And years from now, when people ask, why did the American people just sit by and not do anything? You can say to them that you were in Washington this weekend and you tried to stop it. You know, and I said that so the whole plane could hear me. You know what I mean? And I said, mm-hmm. just like in Germany with Hitler, years after that whole thing of the Nazism and all that, and all the millions of people killed under Hitler's regime, people asked, why did the German people let it happen? Why didn't they do anything? Why didn't they do anything to stop it? And I'm having this conversation with Brett on the airplane. See, this is what people can do to be the media. This is what we can, you don't have to go to Washington to be able to do this, you know? And get a little more ballsy, people, you know? After DowningStreet.org, you know, you can buy these Impeach Bush and Cheney t-shirts off of their website. And I'll tell you, I was a little, you know, nervous the first day I wore it out in public, but it, you know, you take baby steps, you know, and we have to do more as individuals. One thing I do want to mention, I was talking to Agnes about this, about Code Pink.
Yeah.
When we put the buses together to go to Washington out of Florida, we're getting a heck of a lot of media attention. You know, the Christian Science Monitor called us. We, you know, what's that, international distribution? Christian Science Monitor?
Yes.
You know, what I'm saying is, people, get yourself affiliated with big names, whether it be Code Pink or Veterans for Peace. You could join Veterans for Peace as an associate member, as a non-veteran. Get yourself hooked up with a major name, National Organization of Women, whatever. You know, even Iraq Vets Against the War now have, I believe, associate memberships for non-veterans, supporter memberships. Wear their garb. Wear the Code Pink garb. Wear the Veterans for Peace garb. Where the national organ, you know, U.S. labor against the war. You know, it's okay for you guys in the unions now to come out against the war. Sweeney issued the statement January 11th. You know, it's safe. Join U.S. labor against the war. Get your locals in on it. You know, and wear the shirts, wear the buttons, and when you have an event, call the media and tell them you're the local representative of Code Pink, or that you're the local representative of U.S. Labor Against the War of Vets for Peace. And what happens is you find that the TV crews come out. Next thing you know, you're on television. And this, I'm talking about not to get yourself on television for you, get yourself on television as an effective tool to bring an
right.
end to this madness.
Sure.
And this is what any one of people listening today can do. You know, you could be a member of 27 different groups. But if, you know, as far as trying to bring an end to this war, join Code Pink. You know, join one of these other nationally named, recognized groups. Because you'll get printed in the paper more, you'll get more TV coverage, and you'll be and now with us, When the president's going to issue something, they call us now even for comments. We don't have to chase them down as much. And this is what people can be doing locally all over the country.
Right. Well, Phil, again, I thank you so very much for what you did. I thank you for your ongoing efforts. I thank you for your passion and your activism. And I know that you're inspiring other people. So please don't quit.
Thank you, Bob. And I'm not going to quit. And you know, people, jump on board this peace train now, because today, God knows how many other people are dying in our name, and if you're not doing something to stop it, you're part of it. The blood's on your hands. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. If you know the difference and you're not doing something to stop it, that blood is on your hands.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob, and happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. Bye now. And we roll onward to our good friend Peter calling from Tallahassee, Florida. Peter.
Well, happy birthday, Mr. President of the Horn Radio Network.
No, come on, no gold lame.
I can't do it like Agnes. Boy, she tore the house down when she did it for the Horn anniversary. We've got to get her to do that tonight. I really want to hear her do that. She's really good at that.
Well, you know, it's the Tinkerbell thing. We all have to clap and believe.
That was a great conversation when David called earlier about the impeachment thing being off the table. And it's really been bugging me, too. And, you know, Mark Levine, I listened to his show. I was home earlier today for a while, and Mark Levine and Guy were on the show together. And Mark really helped. He shed a lot of light on that for me. You know, he used to work for Waxman. You know, the Waxman's just going after him like gangbusters with all the little investigations and stuff he's doing. And Mark explained that Waxman would love to see Bush impeached, you know, just that he's, you know, chomping at the bits to do it. But he really wants it to come, like, through the back door. You know, like, these things are starting to come out in the Libby trial. For instance, it came out today that Bush is linked to the plane thing, which we all knew anyway. But now they've got a little note from Cheney with Bush's name scribbled in it that implicates Bush in the leak also. And next week he's starting the investigations of the contractor overspending over in Iraq. For instance, they're going to be talking about the Olympic-sized swimming pool that was built that nobody's using over there. It was turned over to the Iraqis, and the Olympic-sized pool didn't even have approval to be built by the U.S. government. The Iraqis, some bureau or another wanted it done. And just, you know, huge waste, fraud left and right, which we've all known for years. And Waxman knows it, too. It's just that now they're getting it on record. It's the first time, you know, we've had any investigative or, you know, being able to call anybody in the carpet on this stuff. And I have to agree with him. I think by the time this year rolls out, the Republicans are going to be screaming to impeach the man. Let them do it. He's their problem, you know.
Well, if you go back to the model of what was done with Nixon, Nixon wasn't leaving until Howard Baker, a Republican from Tennessee, hauled his galluses up around his shoulder blades and walked into the Oval Office and said, "Look, you know, I'm a member of your party. You've got to go."
Yeah, that sort of thing. Where it's
but even with Nixon, Peter, I don't know if there's anybody in the Republican Party that could go to him and say that to him, because he George Bush is in a place that Nixon wasn't. Nixon was whacked out of his mind on booze and pills, but before all that, he was, for all of his red baiting and communistizing and all of that silly evil crap, he was a smart man.
Ah. Yeah.
And that is the line of demarcation between a Howard Baker going to Richard Nixon and, say, does the Republican Party have a guiding force anymore? Is there a Republican? You know, can we dig Gerald Ford out of the ground and have him go in, hobble in, and say, you got to go? You know, but again, would Bush listen? Or would he say, well, you know, they impeached Clinton, and they couldn't convict him, and they won't convict me, and I ain't going.
Well, there you are. Yeah, there you are. That's the other side of the story. Something's got to give, though. This little monster can't. He cannot keep the reins of this country. This little monster must go.
Well, I don't know if I hate the evil shorthand of Joe and Jane Sixpack and Soccer Mom America. I don't know how much of America understands what a crossroads we are at, Peter. I don't know if they understand how dangerous where we are is.
Oh yeah, we've got the extra battleships headed to Iraq. There's no doubt in my mind the plan is to engage Iran too. It's pretty darn scary.
Well, and the thing is, all of this takes and the war hawks who don't care as long as they think they're going to make a fortune off of it, and that's most of the cadre that's hollering for war with Iran, just like it was most of the cadre that was hollering for a war with Iraq. They think that somehow or another they'll be okay. But it will eventually take this entire nation down in a way that will make the Great Depression look like a walk in the park.
Well, that and the environment, you know, piece by piece it's coming out now, things that we've all known all along. The Union of Concerned Scientists are testifying now, along with scientists from the Environmental Protection Agency, et cetera, indicating now to Congress that all of these reports about global warming have been suppressed by the government, are reworded, are rephrased, watered down, the meaning removed. You can lay that at their feet, too. And, you know, with global warming, I mean, it's probably the most important issue. I mean, Iraq's important, and so many things are important, but with the global warming thing, you know, we're talking about millions of people going without water, millions of people starving. One article I read today talked about it would be the effect of 25 Katrinas. You know?
God almighty.
Yeah, it's not...
But, you know, the condemned ate well.
But, you know, the really, really, really reason I called you...
There was a really, really, really reason.
The really reason was, you know, remember the other night I gave you a punk report about Robertson being punked?
And yes.
I talked about his failed businesses. There was the diamond mine and the failed pyramid cosmetics, and there was a whole list of...
Holy mud mask. I will never forget that.
Yeah, there was the holy mud mask. Well, I forgot the motherload, the creme de la creme of all his failed... It's the Christian Coalition. You know, Robertson founded the Christian Coalition 17 years ago. And at this point, they're over $2 million in debt. They're being sued by a fundraising company in Oklahoma for $87,000 in expenses. They're being sued by a moving company in Washington, D.C. to recover $1,800 for packing up furniture when the Christian Coalition had to fold its Washington office. These people are bankrupt. They were at one time the gold star standard of the extreme right-wing funding, but it's another Robertson institution gone down the tubes.
Well, and wasn't the Christian Coalition the organization that rose out of the ashes of the Moral Majority?
Yeah. There's back there, there was, I think, Falwell.
So this is their second collapse.
Yeah. But this one was raised up by Robertson, so it's just another example of you reap what you sow, and, you know, just...
And if you follow the... for instance, the Bill Moyers documentary on Jack Abramoff, you find out that the Christian Coalition was up to its filthy little mammon worshipping neck in the whole Tom DeLay Jack Abramoff thing. That the darling boy of the Christian Coalition, Ralph Reed.
Oh yeah, Ralph Reed. Yeah, didn't Ralph Reed? He was trying to be one of the.
He ran for lieutenant governor of Georgia and got whipped.
Yeah, and wasn't he a director, too, of the coalition, I think?
Oh, yes, he most assuredly was.
And then there was another director. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, he was getting the payday, the Indian casino paydays in the whole Abramoff delay the fraud.
And then there was another director of the Christian Coalition who just had to quit. His name was Joel Hunter. And, see, he went in there thinking, well, this is really a Christian organization. And he lasted a few months, and then he comes out and he quits, and he says, my position is that unless we're caring as much for the vulnerable outside the womb as inside the womb, we're not carrying out the full message of Jesus. Well, my God, somebody who gets it walked in there, eyes closed, eyes wide closed, and had to leave. Ugly people.
Well, they are, and... Again, how much coverage do you see of that?
Nothing, none. I just happened to come across this in one of my little excavations.
And the beauty of it all, of course, is that if, for instance, a member of the Christian Coalition, one of those people who sends them $15 or $20 out of their payday every month, you know, to support God's work in the government, if that person has a catastrophic medical illness and has to go in the hospital, even if they've got good health insurance, supposedly good health insurance, they can still be destroyed by their copay. And if they need to bankrupt that copay, well, now they can lose their house in the process. On the other hand, the Christian Coalition, and go bankrupt and screw everybody out of every last cent and never pay a penalty, number one, for it.
Yep, mom and pop's moving company in Washington, D.C. can eat that $1,800 for moving the desks and the furniture, can't they?
Yeah, you ain't getting a tenth of a penny on the dollar, mom and pop. It isn't going to happen. You can show up for the creditor committee meeting all you want to.
Yeah.
It doesn't make a difference.
And the only other thing I want to tell you about is I got an email today. I guess it was locked in a time warp somewhere because I thought it was like breaking news. But it turns out it's regarding the troops back I think it was February of 2006, that at that time 72% of the troops in Iraq wanted to leave in 2006. So this is like year-old information. Don't know why it arrived in my inbox today. Couldn't tell you. Maybe somebody thought it was relevant in the sense that it was historically the troops have wanted to leave. But this is nothing new that they want to get out of there. Nothing new.
No. No, it's not. And them not leaving there is nothing new.
Yeah, nothing new.
They're going to, if you go back and you study your Roman history and you find out about the legions that were left in the Mesopotamian desert, they were sent there, and they found out after a couple of years they were never coming home.
Yeah.
And we seem to be repeating that, Peter.
Yeah.
I don't mean to air your personal stuff on the air, but it's late in the evening on a Wednesday, and I really really want you to tell me that you are a broadband kind of guy now.
Oh Jesus, I'm staring. I was staring at an Embark router with no green DSL light. No, it didn't come on today. And what is this, the umpteenth billionth lie that we've had from those people? No, there'll be no DSL today.
It takes a lot of nerve to say, come get the modem.
Yeah, I can come by and pick it up, and it's on by Wednesday at 7 p.m. It's been an ongoing battle for, Lord, I guess about 3 years now.
Well, I mean, it's no secret. We introduce you as Peter from Tallahassee.
Yeah.
I mean, Tallahassee, please.
Yeah. Admittedly, I live in the rural part of the county, but by the same token, we're not all hillbillies out here. There are a lot of professional people out here that need it for their business and that sort of
thing. Well, and they're out there for a reason. It's a nice place to be.
Well, it's away from the hustle and bustle, that's for sure. But we're wired for it, and we have the fiber optic to the little telco building out here, and we have new copper laid from the telco building to all of the residences out here, and it's ready to turn on, but for whatever inexplicable reason, they keep lying about when they're going to turn it on. So tomorrow starts phase two, and I will get back into battle mode tomorrow, but I'm looking at the little pretty lights in the router. I have a power light, and I have a little amber light that tells me my network card is connected, and that's all. No DSL activity. No nothing. It's just all.
Oh.
So God, I'm a dial-up kind of boy, I guess. I was meant to go slow.
Well, you know, if you recall, if we would only let private enterprise destroy net neutrality, you could probably have your broadband yesterday.
Oh heck yeah! If it was up to private companies to provide electricity out here, we would still be heating with our lighting with the little oil lamps and kerosene heaters and what have you.
Delco batteries.
See, right. We're on Rural Electric, which is an association, and wasn't that set up by Roosevelt or somebody back in the
Rural Electrification Act.
Yeah, well, I'm on it. And it's the only reason I've got power. Thank you. If only we could get the Rural Datafication Act, I'd be in good shape.
Yeah, ooh, that's good. The Rural Datafication Act. I was thinking rural broadbandization, but no, datafication is very good. your RDA of bandwidth.
Yes, I do need a little bandwidth in my life. But anyway, Bob, I'm so happy.
I'm sorry to hear it, but
birthday. Are you 50 yet?
No. Let's not hurry me yet.
Are we 48?
No.
Are we 44?
We aren't 45 yet.
You're just a little kid. God, these children! I keep talking to these kids on the phone. Lord have mercy.
Oh,
the old guy in the chat room and told. You know who came in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who proudly confessed to being the oldest guy in the chamber.
He did.
What do you guys do in there? Mouseketeer roll call and give your ages or something?
Well, it was your birthday we did. We all had to figure out who was the oldest and everything. You know, we have to, you know, keep up with the hosts.
Yeah, there's. Yeah, I understand. There are hierarchies to be concerned
right,
with.
Right. We had to determine who was the oldest and who was the youngest.
But I do love the idea of a HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room mouseketeer roll call.
Fluffy!
Fluffy!
Oh, Lord. Well, Bobster, I have enjoyed talking to you, my friend.
Oh, it's always such a joy, Peter. And you know, I'm sitting here just sending good thoughts to the little green light on your modem.
Oh, it's hopeless. It just is. Unless we can fake electrons up the wire, it's not going to do anything. It, you know, I can ping it.
I don't know. Maybe call Pastor Hagee's prayer line.
I've pinged it two or three times just to say hello, and it always answers back. But it just...
It likes you.
It doesn't...
It feels at home.
Okay, well, I'll keep you guys posted.
Paint the sucker pink.
You think that'll work?
Yeah, you know, it might. It might make it happier.
It might.
Well, or you know, start a movement. You know, if the DSL's not turned on by say Friday, start a movement out there in the hinterlands outside Tallahassee and say we're taking the modems back, but we're painting them all pink.
That's ridiculous. It's just a freaking signal imposed on a damn phone line. This is not rocket science anymore. It's the 21st century. Good Lord.
It's not rocket science.
It's not. I don't give a damn what they...
No, rocket science was lower technology. They went to the moon on TRS-80s.
DSL was as common as grit, buddy. They ought to have been on years ago. But not...
Peter, take care. We'll be thinking of you.
Okay, you too, buddy. Good night.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, and... I'm being asked for the name of the company. If you look in chat... You can ask Peter and maybe he'll tell you. I don't have it right off the top of my head. I'm sorry, I didn't see the request until just now. Agnes, it's my understanding Luke is still on the line. Let's talk to Luke in Knoxville. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Well, Bob, just very off our computers have come. Texas Instruments makes calculators that are more powerful than the computers they went to the moon with.
Well, that's true.
Oh yeah.
You know, I remember watching that wonderful Ron Howard film Apollo 13. You know, where they had to repair stuff and you know, sort of literally on the fly on the way back to Earth, and you know, the computing power they had was one-tenth of my kid's Xbox.
Oh yeah. I mean, what they did it with, you know, it's like you're sitting there going, dang, they did this with bare skins and two sticks, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, used a flint and steel to light the fuse on the Saturn V.
the Illudium Q-38, the space modulator, yes, indeed.
It was, yeah, the Illudium Q-32 exploding space modulator. Now my view of Mars will no longer, now my view of Venus will no longer be obscured by that nasty Earth. Too many years in front of the television.
Okay, let's get into some fun stuff. Oh, the one that, like I say, that got me today is this thing in Boston. I'm sitting there going, now, you know, if it was a smaller thing, I could see it, you know, not having to do it. But you're doing this in all the big cities, from what I've read. So Turner's people had to get permits, you know, on these Aqua Teen things from the Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
So I mean, somebody's had to file permits, you know, to put up these kind of,
well, Luke, it's my understanding that these things have been hung for the last 2 to 3 weeks in Boston, New York, L.A., Chicago, Atlanta, Seattle, D.C., Portland, Austin, Frisco, and Philly.
That's what that's what it gets to. You know, it's like, I'm sorry, guys, don't any of you have kids? Have you ever had to sit with them and watch the Cartoon Network one morning or something?
Yeah, but this is from Adult Swim. I mean, I hate to ask, because Boston is such a delightfully progressive blue sort of area, so I'm told. But are Boston commuters entirely geeks? Have they never seen Aqua Teen? I live for Aqua Teen.
Oh, I tell you what, it's one of those things.
But, I mean, if you go to CNN, CNN's website, Luke, there's a, it's, I mean,
it's an after people, ads.
People of a certain age, we grew up with Light Bright. Okay? This is a Light Bright.
Uh-oh.
I mean, I've said Light Bright, and I've still got the, suddenly some little portion of the RAM that is my brain has accessed the hard drive in my brain, and I'm hearing the stupid little jingle from Hasbro or Milton Bradley or Light Bright making things with light. Oh, God! You know, Dodge brought back the Rock'em Sock'em robots for their commercial, and that was driving me crazy now.
Oh, God. Oh, I tell you what, they're just amazing. Okay, something else. If you want to find something about the Libby trial, the place to go, I think, is go over to Fire Dog Lake.
Right.
Because they're blogging from it, and like every day at the end of their thing, they do a kind of a recap, tell you what's going on. And that way you can read it, and then go hear what the talking heads say, and go, well, why didn't they mention this? And, you know, the fun part I'm going to love is in the next couple of days when Media Whore number one shows up at the trial. And like I say, what we found out so far is the way sausage is made. The boys in the news division are now going to have to explain why essentially they're being played been played for the last 5 years by the Bush administration. You know, here's who we go to talk to, and we want to get our story out.
Yeah, well, we'll not mention that, and hope that nobody notices that we were played up for a bunch of strumpets.
All the people who normally cover trials are not covering this trial a whole lot. I mean, where's Nancy Grace every night talking about it?
And you know, that's a darn good question.
And, you know, and I know he's not on the air anymore, but why hasn't MSNBC got Dan Abrams back out there talking about this?
Or, well, you know, the heck with it. Where's Geraldo?
Oh, God.
I mean,
well,
Geraldo. Where's
now? You know how that is.
Well, true. Where's John Stossel?
Oh, God.
Where's Stoned Phillips?
Yeah. Oh God, I tell you what, it's watching sausage being made, you know, seeing how the Washington press corps works, and it's like, you know,
the whole thing.
Are you kidding?
The whole thing with the invite list to Dick Cheney's Christmas party.
Oh God.
I mean, now we finally understand that access. The Fourth Estate's ability to serve its vital function within this constitutional republic is determined by who's on the invite list to the vice president's stinking Christmas party? Oh, I weep for my nation, Luke. I really, really do.
Well, if I say, you got to wonder. He's probably written something. I need to go find it. I mean, I've read some of Moyer's stuff on this. I really hope Cronkite's writing some stuff on this. You know what I mean? It's like, don't you people understand we're not supposed to go talk to, you know, you're supposed to talk to them, you know, during official things. You're not supposed to go stay at the house unless you personally have known them, like, since you were kids. You have no excuse to say, I'm going over to such and such as for a personal dinner. If you want to go over for a state dinner, fine. That's, you know, that's when you talk to somebody. But you don't go over there, like say, for parties and such.
Honey, I'm going over to the Naval Observatory to hang out and watch the football game and get all beard up with the vice president. I'll be right back. Well, okay, honey, don't let him shoot you in the face. Oh, I won't. Yeah. No.
Janie's got a gun.
Yeah, but this business, and I mean, we found out everything we ever really wanted to know about Tim Russert, didn't we?
Oh, God.
Now this thing. This latest blather from Chris Matthews?
Oh, God.
What,
Matthews,
I'm afraid we're going to get up some morning and we're going to be at war with Iran. Hillary Clinton will be saluting and the rest of the Democrats will be saluting. Wasn't this dumbass saluting when we started Shock and Awe in Iraq?
I think I sent it to you in the thing when I sent you the link on that thing. Remember, this is the one who said, we are all neocons now.
Yeah.
That was his statement. You know, right after 9/11, we are all neocons now. It's like, no, we're not.
No, but some of us are still sane and actually wear socks without holes in the toes.
I really think, though, I think his doctors really need to adjust his medication. You know, I think he needs some lithium or something. He's
I don't know if I, you know, have they gotten the comb out of his mouth?
Well, the thing got me. Did you see him? He was out in Las Vegas doing this thing, and I'm sitting there looking at him on the screen. I'm going, who did his makeup? An embalmer? God, he looked like a mannequin face. You know,
these are just some scary, creepy people.
Oh, did you see the thing today where Hugo Chavez, where he got his parliament down there to pass these laws? You know, where he essentially expanded his power. But his only lasts for 18 months, and I'm just sitting there wondering, going, please let somebody in the Bush administration start complaining about this, please, because the irony bubbles will just go off all over the place.
Yeah, because then there's the little issue of signing statements and unilaterally bugging people's phones and reading their emails and opening their fudge recipes that are coming from Granny Ferkus, and yeah.
Well, what David was talking about earlier, he wrote the new signing statement. That now essentially every regulatory place like the EPA or FDA and all these now essentially have a political officer that you have to go through. Does the word USSR mean any sense? You know, welcome to the Politburo.
Well, right, and every Soviet nuclear submarine had a political officer on board. Guy couldn't run a reactor. Guy couldn't read a compass. Guy couldn't put a bandage on, couldn't steer the submarine, couldn't fire a torpedo. His job was just to sit there and make sure that the boat was politically correct.
Yeah,
that's us now.
I know. Let's see what else. Had something else. Oh, did you get the link I sent you about Frontline for the next four, not this week, I think, starting next week?
Yeah, I did see that.
Thing on the press, which ought to be pretty good for Frontline. So we'll see how that goes. Where they're going to sort of
I'm impressed with their work.
Sorry, what?
I said I'm impressed with their work.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know how it is. It's like I say, Moyer's left the good seeds there, and they've taken root. So we'll see how all that goes. But you know what I mean? It's some of this stuff now, what was it? Oh, they were, who was it last night? Or I saw it today on Crooks and Liars, I think it was, where O'Reilly was complaining about Hillary's facial expression, and I'm sitting there going, okay, well, how much did we talk about Mr. McCain sitting over there looking like a corpse during the speech? You know, they look over at McCain. McCain, I figure, once or twice somebody's going to put their hand up on his throat to check for a pulse.
No, he was doing everything but the cartoon, you know, whistle snore.
Well, like I say, if you want to talk about facial expressions, Mr. O'Reilly, can you please explain Condi's stink eye? Come on, let's hear it. I want to know what she was thinking.
Oh, and that was, God, wasn't it? That was the stink eye.
Oh, God.
I'd forgotten that phrase.
Oh, God, because like I say, she could eat lemons and they wouldn't have changed that expression any. Oh, shit. I heard somebody, I think it was Stephanie Miller, was saying the other day, said she got that because she saw the congresswoman from Florida or California that got hold of Bush and wouldn't let go of him. Was it Brockman or Blockman, something like that? And when he was going through the line, she grabbed hold of him, like I say, was in a death grip and wouldn't let go.
Well, that was a weird one. And of course, I think it was Susan Lasovich at CNN today. He went to visit Wall Street. Where's the wall?
You heard this.
And was on the trading floor of the New York Stock Exchange, and she said, have you gotten a hardball question from a hardcore journalist. Have you gotten a nice reception here today, Mr. President? Do you think your reception will be any better than it is from Congress right now? And he put his hand over her mic and just ignored her.
Well, the thing got me was, the better one, though, I haven't seen too much talk about this on the news tonight. I'm sitting here, this thing about him going to the tractor factory. Oh, did you hear about this? He got up in a tractor or bulldozer or something and almost ran over some of the press corps. And I'm sitting there going, don't let him near any heavy machinery. Are you crazy?
If only he'd been a Democrat, there would be a million photographs of it now.
Oh, God. And essentially what happened was, they say he got up in there and it's like they were trying to get move people around. All of a sudden he decided, I'm going. Oh, God, you're sitting there, and it's sort of like, you know, it's like I say.
I can't get me one of these.
Well, I'm just sitting there going, shouldn't somebody in the Secret Service have said, sir, you really shouldn't do that, you know, trip him, do something. I mean, we've seen what he does with a Segway and a bicycle, you know.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, bud, you take it easy, and like I say, hope everything, you know, works out. You don't want to know, you know how it's going. But like I say, just keep the front page up. Let us know what's going on. You know what I mean, on days you're taped, days you're going to be on live.
I sure will. I sure will. Luke, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Well, like I say, we'll get the skyscrapers out in the morning and see what happens.
All right.
Hope
sounds
you all
good.
Can, too. See ya.
No kidding. Thank you. Agnes, let's go ahead and take a take an early news break, and we'll come back when the news is over. Your phone call is welcome at 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Email, you know, of course, always comes to bob@headonradio.com. I look forward to seeing what you have to say on this Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Happy birthday to you.
This is the Quality News Network. A quarterly audit of U.S. government spending on reconstruction in Iraq reveals tens of millions of dollars in wasted money. The Special Inspector General for Iraq finds waste, fraud, and frustration. The Iraq War and reconstruction costs have totaled more than $300 billion. Also in Iraq today, at least 42 people were killed. Most of the violence occurred in Shiite neighborhoods by bombs and mortars at several locations. This led to an apparent retaliatory attack on a Sunni neighborhood. Wisconsin Senator Russ Feingold introduced legislation to cut off funding for the Iraq War in an effort to put an end to U.S. involvement in the conflict. The Democrat says money for the war would dry up 6 months after the bill is enacted. Both the president and vice president say Congress has no right to pull U.S. forces out of Iraq, but 4 out of 5 legal experts testifying before the Senate Judiciary yesterday disagreed. In Birmingham, England, police arrested 9 suspected terrorists this morning in a predominantly Pakistani neighborhood. Detectives said the arrests are tied to a plan to carry out an Iraqi-style kidnapping in Britain. The foiled plot was to abduct a British Muslim soldier and videotape his torture and beheading. In Baghdad, Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki is urging Iran and the U.S. to settle their differences outside of Iraq. Al-Maliki agrees with U.S. assertions that Iran is targeting U.S. forces in Iraq and wants his country to stop being used as proxy battleground. In Washington, senators from both sides of the aisle used the platform of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to tell the administration to cool its increasingly heated anti-Iranian rhetoric. The senators echoed recommendations from the Iraq Study Group that the U.S. diplomatically enlist Iran to help reduce sectarian violence in Iraq. The Pentagon has halted sales of leftover F-14 jet fighter parts. Iran is the only country that buys the parts and has been doing so secretly through third parties. An investigation by the Associated Press reveals Iran, China, and other countries were regularly purchasing sensitive military material in surplus sales. On Wall Street, President Bush spoke about the state of the economy and acknowledged the widening gap between the rich and the poor. He also spoke about the excessive salaries awarded to company executives. He said the salaries should be tied to job performance, but did not suggest that the government intervene. Senator Joseph Biden has made it official. The six-term senator from Delaware filed paperwork today for his bid to become the Democratic Party's nominee for president. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business News, next.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
Citizenship and Immigration Services may nearly double the application fee for U.S. citizenship from $330 to $595. The cost of becoming a legal permanent resident may nearly triple from $325 to $905. Advertising for this Sunday's Super Bowl is expected to run $2.6 million for a 30-second ad. That is up from last year and makes it the most expensive television advertising spot ever. In California, lawmakers have introduced a bill aimed at reducing energy use and greenhouse gases. Incandescent light bulbs would be banned by the state by the year 2012 under the, quote, "How many legislatures does it take to change a light bulb?" Act. U.S. Airways has been ordered to stop selling alcohol on all flights to and from New Mexico. State authorities made the demand after the airlines served alcohol to an already drunk passenger in November. When he disembarked, he drove away from the airport and crashed into another vehicle, killing himself and five others. The Federal Reserve Board has issued a report saying short-term interest rates are not going up and will remain at 5.25%. Light sweet crude is trading at $58.14 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange, and at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was up 98 points, the NASDAQ was up 15, and the S&P 500 was up 9. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Christine Kendall.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Here I am, and I bailed out a little bit early. I apologize for that, but I did it for a very, very good reason. It's shift change here at Hospice House of Southern West Virginia, and staff... Brought in a birthday treat. I've got carrot cake and coconut cream pie and apple pie all prepared in the kitchens here. There's the institution of higher learning here in Beckley called Mountain State University, and they have a culinary school. And I've become acquainted and friends with everybody here, but I've also become friends with the young chef in training, who is the chef de cuisine of the kitchen here. Every effort is made by this marvelous, marvelous facility to meet the needs of the people who come here, so that their lives continue to have dignity, even in extremis. They wheel folks out for a cigarette if they're smokers. I was talking with one of the nurses, and she said, we've been told if one of them says, I need an evening cocktail, that that's allowed here too. So it's a wonderful experience in the midst of some real sadness. But I feel like I've made friends here that I will keep after long after all of this is over, because people like this are gems when you come across them. Before we go to the phones, I do want to mention, I got an email from our good friend Billy Shears, who just sent me the account, and it is sad business. It always seems like we're losing the good ones on our side. But, of course, I'm sure you already know, but if you don't, we have lost one of the great lights of our cause. We have lost Molly Ivins. And I feel it in my gut. This woman did everything she possibly could before 2000 and after 2000 to alert the nation and the world to what a poisonous, venomous, vicious, mean-spirited, low-life, lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut, low-character George W. Bush was and is. And she had, the news had gone out last week that she had become gravely ill. And she has gone on wherever the candle flame goes when the candle blows out. It was breast cancer. And I don't... okay, this is just crappy on my part, but I'm going to say it, and I'm going to get it off my chest. It always, like I said, it always seems like we're the ones who do the losing. Where's Michelle Malkin's breast cancer? Where's Ann Coulter's? Stop it. I know what you're... Where's Ann Coulter's testicular cancer? Why does it always seem that it's our people? The people who mean so much, who fight so hard. And our side is so challenged. Keep the fight up. Had a lot of time in the last days and weeks think about what happens after death. You know, they asked Bertrand Russell, the noted philosopher, what would happen after he dies, and after he died, and he said, "I'll rot." There's no doubt that that happens to the corporal existence. I am not prepared to say what happens to the spirit. All that streets paved with gold and pearly gate stuff, I think, is the fondest wish of a culture that lived with dirt in its streets and whose gates were made out of mud brick. You know, when you live in filth, it's your dream that someday you'll live in clean. So that kind of, for me, that kind of explains the whole pearly gates thing. What happens afterward, I won't kid you. I've been watching my own dad for a few days now, and he's carrying on conversations with people in the room that I can't see. You want to tell me he's hallucinating? That's fine. You want to tell me it's the drugs? That's fine, too. The scientists out there say, "Well, you know, Bob, when everything begins to shut down, the brain dumps memories, and there's a huge endorphin rush that blah, 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 blah." I'll just go back. Me and Bill Shakespeare, we'll camp out together. There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophies. I don't know if there's any comfort to be had in that. But I hope there is. Sitting there with Dad perked up all of a sudden. Railroad? No idea. But then, of course, his grandfather, my great-grandfather, was a section foreman and laid the C&O Railroad through the New River Gorge as it comes up from Charleston and heads into southern West Virginia. Hard to know. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend Susan is with us, calling from Columbia City, Oregon. Susan, welcome to the program. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Oh, hanging in there. The reason I called is because, you know, you mentioned dear Mad King George putting what amounted to political officers in all the departments. I don't know whether or not it was being prescient or not, but Waxman created a subcommittee of the Government Oversight Committee. And he's called it the Domestic Policy Subcommittee of Government Oversight. And you would not believe the list of goodies that this has a right to poke its nose in. Here's a partial list. Energy, justice, labor, veterans affairs, product safety, environmental protection agency, FTC, Federal Elections Commission, Federal Labor Relations Authority, Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service, Mine Safety and Health Review Commission, Federal Tra- Commission, National Labor Relations Board, OSHA, and others. You will never guess who is chairing that committee.
Oh, I bet I know.
Your friend and mine, Dennis Kucinich.
Yes, indeed. And frankly, that's one of those catch-all jurisdiction committees. He can have a hearing on just about anything he wants to have a hearing on.
Yep, he can stick his nose in anything he wants.
And I hope he uses the bully pulpit he's been given to stick his nose in places that cowardly Republicans were terrified to stick theirs before. Because somewhere along the way, somebody's got to want to be we the people again.
Yeah, I have one message for Dennis. Start printing the subpoenas.
Well, yeah, isn't that the truth? I was really disheartened today to notice, Susan, this business, it was reported in the New York Sun, of the Washington Post just bailing out. I mean, it was a winner. The suit was a winner.
Mm-hmm.
To the demand to view Big Time Dick's visitor logs. I mean,
we can't release those because that relates to national security. And
really, the visitor, the guest book is national security now.
Yeah. So I wonder where the ACLU is on this.
Well, Eric Lieberman, the Washington Post attorney, said, "We have decided not to pursue litigation further, though we believe we would have prevailed in the Court of Appeals as we did in the trial court." They won, and they quit, Susan. I mean, that's... He said, the paper had a fundamental goal of getting records to inform voters before the election and failed in that regard. So they didn't get the records before the election, so there's no reason to continue on. We also considered the fact that there are several other well-positioned FOIA lawsuits seeking these same types of records, and we are confident that the public's right of access will ultimately be vindicated in them.
Yeah. In other words, they're owned by some great big media conglomerate, and they got the word.
Yeah, the message got through.
Yeah. Well, Dennis, the ACLU, other people like them, they don't have little corporate masters. And as far as I'm concerned, and we mentioned the town hall meeting that we had with Senator Wyden, one of the first things that was brought up, start busting these conglomerates up.
Yeah.
And out of an entire room full of people, there was only two that were... that had obviously drunk the Kool-Aid. Only two. The rest of us wanted impeachment proceedings right now.
Well, he needs to hear that. I don't know how to get around what I perceive needs to be done here because. And won't be done because there are people who say, you know, that's just not the way we need to be doing business in Washington. I'm not concerned with the business in Washington. I'm concerned with the business on Main Street.
Right. Even if strategically you don't want to go straight for an impeachment, fine. I can understand that. But these senators, these representatives, need to hear from us, the public, that yes, we still want this Yahoo impeached. We not only want him impeached, we want Cheney impeached at the same time.
Don't do this if it's not a twofer.
Yeah.
And frankly, and in many ways, I think if you started with Cheney by himself, I mean, I want the twofer, but if you're going to start with one and one only, start with Cheney. Because I don't know if you saw it, but Truth Out. Reproduced the actual notes that were introduced into evidence, and they're the very telling things, you know, at the Scooter Libby trial. And one of them, Susan, is a note, and they had the witness on the stand, so he had to interpret, but it's a note, and David Addington was on the stand, During cross-examination Tuesday morning, David Addington was asked specific questions about Cheney's notes and the reference to President Bush. Addington, former counsel to the vice president, was named Cheney's chief of staff, a position, yada, yada, yada. Can you make out what's crossed out, Mr. Addington? Wells asked, according to a copy of the transcript of Tuesday's court proceedings. It says the guy, and then it says this prez, and then it is scratched through, Addington said. So what it works out is, the way it reads is, not going to protect one staffer and sacrifice the guy, and then the word this prez is scratched through. So all along, so basically what this thing does, this is a smoking gun.
Yeah.
This shows that Bush was in the loop actively trying to protect Karl Rove and encouraging the deliberate misleading of the American people. We have finally arrived at that place that the Republicans have been so pissed off about for so long, because we keep saying, you know, if you can impeach a president over a stained blue dress. Well, you know what? We finally got George Bush's stained blue dress.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I just love the media report saying tens of thousands of demonstrators. God, that's funny.
Yeah, it was hundreds of thousands, and it was all across America.
Right. I went to YouTube, and I typed in one word on search, protest. And I came up for just, and these are just for the 27th March, over close to 100 YouTube videos. And there are shots in there. They completely filled that mall. Martin Luther King didn't fill that mall.
No, it was, as far as I understand it, it was people as far as the eye could see, wasn't it,
yes,
Susan?
It was. There are shots, and I wish somebody had the sense to get a shot from a helicopter. I wish they had. Oh, it would have been neat. But they filled that mall. That was incredible. But all, you know, and I, the night before, I wrote in there, wrote an editorial on one of the posts. I said, hey, the only thing people are going to be able to scream about is the fact that Jane Fonda was there. And you want to know exactly what they're screaming about? Jane Fonda.
The fact that Jane Fonda was there. Oh, I got the filthy little solicitations for me to do various and sundry interviews. Hanoi Jane joins an un-American anti-war protest. Yep, there it was.
Yeah. Never mind the fact that she's an American.
But she's in the right on this.
Yes, she's right. And I said, you go, Jane. Good for you.
Sure, you go Jane, and you go Susan Sarandon, and you go Tim Robbins, and you go everybody who was there.
And I noticed one other thing. There were a lot of representatives there. There was Christine.
Well, didn't I see an interview with John Conyers? He was there.
Yeah, there were no senators. As far as I can find out, there were no senators.
No, because they live in a place called fear.
And I want to know, well, why not?
You know, I'm sure that it irks some middle-of-the-roaders and moderates and so forth. But where was Hillary? Oh, I'm sorry, Hillary needed to be in Iowa.
Yeah, well...
Where was Obama? Where was, Joe Biden announced for president today. Where was Joe Biden?
Yeah. There was not...
Dennis Kucinich was there.
Yeah, but Kucinich is in the House. There was not...
Oh, I know. No, I'm talking about presidential candidates. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think none of the U.S. The presidential candidates were there. None of the U.S. senators were there. Even the ones not running, even the ones who can be elected, I don't care. All they have to do is be breathing. Kennedy can... all he has to do is show up. And he's elected. He knows that. You think he could be bothered to show up? No.
Well, it's it's looking more and more like the United States Senate is our problem.
I would.
And frankly, at this point, I am so paranoid they could probably medicate me. I don't know what Joe Lieberman has said to the Democratic majority in terms of what he demands. You see, the Senate of the United States has been put into the clutches of one nasty little squirrely man, yes. Joe Lieberman.
Who is?
And I don't know. I don't know what his ransom demands are.
You know who Joe Lieberman has always reminded me of? I'm not saying this is actually true. This is just strictly a metaphor, Agent Fred, and anybody who's listening. He always reminds me of that nasty little character in the black overcoat and the hat pulled down over his eyes who sidles into the porno house.
Yeah. I was going. He reminds me of Pat Paulson. Although I like Pat Paulson's positions better than Lieberman's. Of course, I heard. I saw a letter over on the Jesus General the other day. Wonderful, hilarious blog. JC Christian Patriot, Jesus General, telling him that for the State of the Union this time through, he was going to need more than a peck on the cheek. That Joe would have to slip him some tongue.
But what they need to do is the entire Senate needs to stand up and say, Joe, go F yourself. I don't care what you think you can do. If you want to hand this over to the majority over to the Republicans, fine. You will become the most hated man in this country. And we will see how long you last.
Exactly. Exactly. Susan, it's so good to hear from you.
Well, it's good to hear you talking, and
I'll try to be back here doing this again tomorrow night or somewhere in I'll keep doing this as long as it's possible.
Yeah, you hang in there and bless you be, hon.
All right, thank you, Susan.
Bye bye.
Bye now. Susan, among other things, is one of our news ninjas. She takes care of the blog along with Gene at headonradionetwork.com, as well as doing posting over at Centab, C-E-N-T-A-B, .headonradionetwork.com. Go by. It's an excellent job. This is the invention of a way of doing radio that has not been done before. In fact, it's a direct rejection. And it's what we set out to do with the Head On Radio Network in the first place. It is a direct rejection of the right-wing talk radio model or paradigm or mindset or whatever you care to call it. Susan gives of her time because she thinks that the effort is worth it. So does Gene. So do I. So does Agnes. So do all the hosts on this network. And that speaks to the vitality of not only the effort, but and the spirit of the people behind it, but the vitality and the future of the organization itself. And I find it incredibly exciting. I'm gonna shift gears. I don't know if you, but this is Wednesday night. This is prayer meeting, so there is no better place for this than right now. I'm going to play a song for you in a minute. Our good friend Billy Shears was kind enough to convert it to an MP3 for me so I could share it with you. A firestorm of controversy raged through the blogosphere in the last week or so. An evangelist, if you want to call him that, calling himself Pastor Donnie Davies, emerged on the scene at a website called lovegodsway.org. And he had a list of music, among other things, a list of music that would turn you gay. That's our good friend Cindy originally sent me the link because of the music that will turn you gay list. So I went there, and it was like going, you know, it's like watching a train, a slow moving train wreck. You just gotta look. It's so awful, you can't not. Among other things, Pastor Donnie Davies purports to have founded something called CHOPS, C-H-O-P-S, Changing Homosexuals into Ordinary People. Yeah, no kidding. But his gay bands list, The Spores, Scissor Sisters, Rufus Wainwright, Merzbow, Ravi Shankar, Wilco, Bjork, Tech Nine, Ghostface Killah, Bobby Kahn, Morton Subotnick, Cole Porter, Eagles of Death Metal, The String Cheese Incident, Polyphonic Spree, The Faint, Interpol, Tegan and Sarah, Erasure, The Grateful Dead, Perrin AIDS, Le Tigre, Marilyn Manson, Dark Gay, The Gossip, The Magnetic Fields, The Doors, Fish, Queen, The Strokes, Sufjan Stevens, Morrissey, questionable, The Pet Shop Boys, no, really? Metallica, Judas Priest, The Village People, The Secret Handshakes, The Rolling Stones, David Bowie, Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Manor Astro Man, Richard Cheese, Jay-Z, Depeche Mode, Kansas? Velvet Underground, Elton John the first time, and then down at the end, Elton John again, really gay. And people are sending in... you know what? He's also got a list of safe bands. And, doggone it, he still hasn't added it. Among other things, Dresden Dolls, Under Oath, and Cyndi Lauper are on the safe band list. I suggested that he add the Drive-By Truckers to the safe band list for their godly and upstanding hymn, Too Much Sex, Too Little Jesus. But, you know, who am I? Pastor Davies has not responded. But anyway, Pastor Davies on his website also purports to front a band called Evening Service. And they have a video out. And you can go just look up The Bible Says, that's the name of the song, or Evening Service. I'm sure you'll find the video. It's also, you can also find it by wandering around the lovegodsway.org website. I'm gonna play the song for you. And before you start just having an absolute screaming hissy, please be aware that this is a fake. This is a fraud. This is, in fact, brilliant satire. But hit the song, Agnes. Pay attention to the lyrics.
Give me strength to fight temptation. Lord, lead me to your salvation. The Bible says, as plain as day, with a man you shall not lay. Lord, you are my strength. Lord, you are my strength. Fill me with your love. Help me fight these feelings. And help me rise above. Lord, help them hear me and make clear my voice. 'Cause being gay is nothing but a joke. From the urges and help me see the light.
your love. Help me fight these feelings and help me rise above. Lord, help them hear me and make clear my voice. 'Cause being gay is nothing but a choice. God hates a fag. God hates fags. Yeah, yeah. God hates fags. If you're a fag, he hates you too.
Okay, the fact of the matter is you have got to see the video in order to get all of it. This couldn't be any more fake. This is a play on, and I suspect, if I understand the satire correctly, this is an attempt to sort of draw out Pastor Phelps and other fundy bigots. Because, among other things, again, if you look at the imagery in the video, I was talking with John Fox about it, and frankly, it is so over the top that the only thing that didn't happen that I expected to happen was for a dwarf to come out and start dancing around a little miniature model of Stonehenge, like in the Final Tap. The guy comes out. He cannot play even one chord on the guitar, and you know everybody who's even been around a guitar learns to play Stairway to Heaven or Smoke on the Water or Make a C or a G or something. White pants, pink shirt, wiggles his butt. There are three red burning candles in front of the fog enshrouded backup band. That appear over and over and over in the video, that whose you know imagery just really can't be missed. But the interesting thing is, it caused an absolute firestorm. People just saw this and went nuts. Why? Because the right-wing religion industry in this country is so vile and so hateful, so bigoted, so prejudiced, and so utterly viperous and poisonous that it was automatically assumed to be true, to be real, to be legit. And the guy has put up video blog entries. Now, if you go to... A website, a blog called Joe My God, JoeMyGod. You will find that this thing has been debunked. The guy in the video who purports to be Pastor Donnie Davies is a Dallas area actor and performance artist named Joel Oglesby. He is also apparently a graduate. Here's the fun part. He's also apparently a graduate of Baylor University. Baylor University, you'll recall, is the Baptist-sponsored university in Texas that was castigated by Tom DeLay because I've recently found out that they have dance in there. It really, no kidding. But, you know, to be honest with you, I thought about and I made contact with this this guy. You know, there's a publicity department, Addy, and so I wrote in and I invited him to join Brother Bob Kincaid. He didn't bite. And I doubt that he's going to, and frankly, I don't want to participate in his fraud. I was going to try to outfundy him. I was going to try to bust his shtick by outshticking him. But I don't have it in me to do that, quite honestly. That level of duplicity does not exist in me, and while we might all sit around and deal and get a little giggle out of it, I'm not going to do that very often or at all anymore. Because there, we can leave that to the right wingers. We can leave the mendacity, duplicity, to the right wingers. And while I recognize the brilliance of this guy's satire, he is making a lot of people really, really suffer. And I'm not talking about religion industry people who are getting a bad rap. They're not getting a bad rap. He's holding a mirror up to them. But there are people, if you read some of the gay-oriented blogs, you'll find that people are just miserable about this. And somehow or another, I don't see the validity in perpetuating that misery. So it looks to I'm adopting the position of Joe over at Joe My God blog that this is in fact. And if you go to Joe My God, you'll see and compare to the guy in the video the photograph of Joel Oglesby and the photograph of Donnie Davis in. And the name of the song is not God Hates Fags. The name of the song is The Bible Says. You'll see that this is a high level of fraud. Among other things, if you go around the website, you'll notice that there is not a single place where you can donate to the ministry. If these guys are for real, there's not a single one of them that doesn't have his hand out. So I didn't know if you'd seen it yet or not, but I wanted to draw your attention to it. Because there is some, there are a lot of people who are falling for it. Don't fall for it. Of course, I don't really have to worry about you guys doing it because you're a lot sharper than that. Also, in the course of this, looking at his goofy website, and if you watch his video blog, the one where he's standing at the top of the steps and he takes his jacket off and he throws it over his shoulder, so the there's a song playing in the background, and it's a redoing. It's a cover of, I believe it's the Psychedelic Furs' Love My Way, and they've redone it as Love God's Way. But one of the bands on the gay bands list is a person by the name of Bobby Kahn. Now, listeners in the Chicago area might be familiar with Bobby Kahn. I wasn't, but in the course of the process, I learned. It's one of the nice things that has come out of all of this. What a wonderful band Bobby Kahn and Glass Gypsies are. Because, among other things, great progressive, liberal, whatever you want to call it, political, social satire in their music. I think the Bobby Kahn and Glass Gypsies' latest album is King for a Day. And the videos that I've seen on YouTube are brilliant for their sort. King for a Day, We Come in Peace, and Home at Last. Brilliant commentary, just brilliant. So you know, I hope this helps Bobby Kahn and Glass Gypsies out because very good, very, very talented folks. We'll finish off the evening here in a moment. I suspect that if I was to ask Agnes, she would tell me that it's time to take a break. So we'll be back with the last few stories of the evening, and I do have some that I want to share with you, inside and outside the territorial United States. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Chances are, 'cause I wear a silly grin, the moment you come into view, chances are you think that I'm in love with you. Just because my composure sort of slips,
the moment that your lips meet mine. Chances are you think my heart's your valentine. In the magic of moonlight, when I sigh, hold me close, dear. Chances are
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the UK, and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right, it's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to wateruseitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
Quarter before the hour. We'll say that there's 10 minutes or so left in the program. By the way, the Johnny Mathis tune, back when they were what we call important song. That and a very little known Nat King Cole song that I can't find anywhere except on the last remaining 45 apparently on Earth that we possess, called Time in the River. Let's take a look. First of all, an email. Got an unsigned email here. I was thinking, Bob, you know how people who are married and in love with their spouse never, ever think for a moment that their, let's say, husband would ever cheat on them? Not them. The thought never even crosses their mind. Then it happens. Boom. Surprise. They got fooled. How does this happen? Well, when you're not a cheat, the thought of cheating never even crosses your mind. Same rule applies to gay folk. If you're not gay, you never think of gays or what they're doing. It's only when the issue is brought up do you think of gay people at all. But if you're obsessing over gay people, I'm sorry if this upsets all the gay Republicans, but the fact is you're gay. And what a boatload of truth there is in that. When you get right down to it, the Republican Party spends more time worrying about what gay folk do than they do worrying, frankly, about what any other single group on the planet does. And that should be a lesson to us. Well, here's a case in point. One of our favorite disgusting right-wing religion industry bunches is, of course, the American Family Association. Now, a week ago, in my email box, because I like to get their alerts, because I like to see what they're hating on. Headline: Board helps sponsor explicit, sickening homosexual scene. Ooh. Dear Bob, rather than backing down from its support of homosexuality, Ford Motor Company has apparently taken a rub-it-in-your-face attitude. No, they didn't. Yes, they did. Has apparently taken a rub-it-in-your-face attitude. On the January 16th episode of Dirt, which airs on the FX channel, shh, don't tell the American Family Association who FX is, okay? Ford helped sponsor one of the most explicit, sickening homosexual scenes ever showed on television. Because it is so explicit, I could not even include a description of it here. I hope you will simply trust me. However, it's always a however, because the people that belong to the American Family Association, they want to see. Oh, I want to see. It's Mabel, come look at the dirty homosexuals. However, if you want to read our review of the scene or to see the video of the scene, click here. Big bold letters. Be forewarned. It is extremely graphic. You see, this isn't about Ford. Well, yeah, it is. Because, you see, the people at the American Family Association, as we have noted on a number of occasions, hate the organized union workers of the UAW and other unions as well, who work for Ford Motor Company. because they're right-wing, they don't believe in living wages. They don't believe in benefits. They don't believe in pensions. The only thing they believe in is giving money to our ministry. See, at the bottom of all of these things, it always says, if you think our efforts are worthy, would you please support us with a small gift? Thank you for, and by gift, they don't want you to send a damn digital watch either, Sunshine. They want money. Thank you for caring enough to get involved. Sincerely, Donald E. Wildman, founder and chairman. Yes, please forward this to your family and friends, even though it talks about a lot of really dirty stuff. So, you know, it's about trying to screw over workers, because Ford sells cars to people who have sex differently than their interpretation of 3,000-year-old semi-literate text thinks they ought to have sex. But anyway, you know, I could not even include a description of it here. I hope you'll simply trust me. However, if you want to read our review of the scene or to see the video of the scene, click here. Okay, we're clicking. We're clicking, Brother Wildman. The following is a description of a scene taken from the January 16, 2000 episode of Dirt on the FX Network. Warning, the following description is graphic and offensive. But wait, you don't have to read their review. You can go to the bottom of the review and you can click it and you can watch it. Two men on a backyard patio are discussing their acting. When one of them asks the other if he may ask a personal question, the other man says, "Relax, I've been thinking the same thing." He then places his hands on the first man's face and pulls him in for a very long, passionate kiss. He then says, "Ever since I met you, I've been thinking the same thing." He then moves one hand down the first man's shirt and rubs his crotch. Immediately, he falls to his knees and begins undoing the man's belt, pants, and zipper. After gazing at the man's penis, he moves his head forward toward it. The scene cuts to a distance view where the second man is seen giving the first man oral sex. Okay, I'm going to confess something here. No. To view the actual scene, click here. I clicked! Because I knew that these right-wing monsters, these bigots, these prejudiced bastards, were once again lying through their stinking, filthy fundamentalist teeth. Now, you'll note, he says that, none of it happens. It is, of course, being Hollywood, very artfully shot. And Reverend Donald E. Wildman and his weird little son and their weird little organization cannot tell what is going on behind what is commonly called in the industry editing. But of course, their followers. Did you see that they're putting up homo stuff on FAX? Funny, it's not on CBS. Not on NBC. Why? It's on upstanding right-wing FX, owned by Rupert Murdoch's News Corp. FX, Fox, Fox this, Fox that, Fox News Channel. But if you go and you... I'm sure it's the action alert is still up at American Family, AFA.net. I love the code for this. www.afa.net/dirtscene.asp. Dirty. That's why they call the show Dirt. Dirty. But no, nothing is ever shown. It's all very low light. And you know what? In order to write the things that the American Family Association has written here, they have to have incredibly salacious minds. And you have to be unable to separate your own fascinations from artful editing. If you can't do that, you can believe everything that Donald Wildman has put in his goofy little note. Once again, right wing betrays its latency. Just as the email said. These people are obsessed for a reason. Fascinating, isn't it? Another email. Too much. Too much. God hates no one. These people are the haters who do so much harm in his name. Again, the video is a fraud. It's a fake. But it is so hateful. It goes to the very heart of the right-wing religion industry. And by the way, just in case you were under the impression that right-wing fake Christianity was the only group capable of being stupid, let's take a quick trip to Canada. Immigrants, and see, I know there are people out there that will have a hissy about this and say that the town is wrong for posting it. Maybe they are. Immigrants wishing to live in the small Canadian town of Herouville, Quebec, must not stone women to death in public, burn them alive, or throw acid on them, according to an extraordinary set of rules released by the local council. The declaration, published on the town's website, has deepened tensions in the predominantly French-speaking province over how tolerant Quebecois should be toward the customs and traditions of immigrants. I'm sorry, stoning a woman to death or burning her alive is not a custom or a tradition which needs to be honored in anything remotely considering itself to be civilized society. Quote, "We wish to inform these new arrivals that the way of life which they abandoned when they left their countries of origin cannot be recreated here. Therefore, we consider it completely outside these norms to kill women by stoning them in public, burning them alive, burning them with acid, circumcising them, etc." Now, what was the response? Well, Salam El-Minyawi, president of the Muslim Council of Montreal, said the declaration, quote, had set the clock back for decades as far as race relations were concerned. I was shocked and insulted to see these kinds of false stereotypes and ignorance about Islam and our religion in a public document written by people in authority who discriminate openly. I don't think anything I just read said anything about Islam or Muslims. It said that stoning women to death for being women or having sex is unacceptable. It said burning them with acid is unacceptable. It said forced female circumcision is unacceptable. It will not be tolerated. This story is just full of weirdness. And listen, I'm all for cultural diversity. I'm all for letting people. I think we get better when we learn from each other's cultures. But the article from Reuters also points out that the Herouville regulations say girls and boys can exercise together and people should only be allowed to cover their faces at Halloween. Children must not take weapons to school, it adds. Although, and this is a killer for me, the Supreme Court of Canada has already ruled that Sikh boys have the right to carry ceremonial daggers. You know what? I'm going to become a Zoroastrian so that my boy can carry his ceremonial flamethrower. Last year, a Montreal gym agreed to install frosted windows after a nearby Hasidic synagogue said that it was offended by the sight of adults exercising. Ruam. You believe in God, but you're offended by the sight of God's creation? Screw you. Pieces. Let's see, a Montreal community center banned men from prenatal classes to respect Hindu and Sikh traditions, and an internal police magazine suggested women police officers allow their male colleagues to interview Hasidic Jews. You be whatever the hell you want to be, but be it on your own time. And don't expect the rest of the culture to conform to your weird superstitious ways, whether they be Hindu, Sikh, Jewish, or Muslim. And by the way, don't burn the women with acid. This is just not enough. That's it. Thanks for joining us for Prayer Meeting Edition tonight. The show, of course, tonight was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. Engineered by John Fox, announced by Brian Reznor. All streaming, archiving, and podcasting. Don, or by Ben Birch. Sorry, running out of steam here. Peter Godbold, thank you for the IT services. Thank you to the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They build the American dream every day. By supporting this network, they're helping to save the American dream. And always, 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 RMR. It's a
You're listening to the Venture 3 Radio Network.
Democrats unveil massive spending bill. Specter says Bush not sole decision maker in Washington. U.S. missile defense maturing, latest test success. Bush warns Iran against action in Iraq. Another war coming, folks. FBI turns to broad new wiretap method. Crowds on both coasts protest the Iraq war. Justices defend the 2000 Florida recount decision. Biden says failed Iraq policy emboldens the enemy. Iranian reveals plan to expand role in Iraq. Bush father complains of news media hostility. You've got to be kidding me. UN climate report will shock the world. Can a past of Islam change the path for president? For Obama, Cheney responds to Hagel's criticism. Ex-Cheney aide details media tactics. And, of course, Kentucky Derby winner Barbara was euthanized. A sad story. New Jersey cracks down on talking on a cell phone while cycling. What about the damn cars? These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, starting next.